much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
You want some free stuff from the radio station?
Yeah, sure.
How about a pair of underwear that says "Speak into the mic"?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Let's move on to the WNBA. They've decided to attract more fans by dropping the W.
Whoa, whoa, ho, ho, whoa. You're a little excited.
Oh, horse manure.
Well, thank you so much for sharing.
Who the hell are you people?
And now.
And this is a reminder. Hope everybody got their flu shots. And Rite Aid, in a lot of places, are actually giving them out like $20, $25. Just show up and you get a flu shot. But you got to pay $20 or $25, but it's first come, first serve.
How do you untell something? You can't. You can't put words back in your mouth.
Our feature presentation.
Hey, everybody, it's the Kevin and Bean Show. What's happening?
You sounded surprised by that news.
I was, yes. I was talking to Mike.
That was impressive. That was really good.
Now, our feature presentation. I've learned to tune that in. Hey, before we do anything else, I'd just like to say that somebody just took a shot at me. I'm pretty sure.
What are you talking about?
You mean like with a gun and some junk?
Yeah. Dude. I was walking in, there was a gunshot. And then I heard right by.
Are you kidding?
Nope,
what's
kidding.
Going on? What's the deal?
We live in Compton.
Right?
But that's it.
This was you in the parking lot.
Right now. Four minutes ago.
Seacrest is very territorial.
I don't know what it is. But I've heard gunshots before. And I've fired guns before.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a gun.
And it definitely was a gun.
Yes.
Wasn't a big buzzy bee or something like that.
I don't think it was a big buzzy bee, no.
Okay. Just saying. Some bees are loud, that's all.
Right, but this was a gun, and then okay. I heard the bullet whiz by. Well, I don't really think they were shooting at me, but I heard the bullet go.
How close would you estimate the bullet was from your body?
You can hear it.
Probably a foot. No, yeah. I don't.
No. Was it 20 feet or was it 5 feet?
It wasn't 5 feet. I mean, it was a little ways away. I don't think they were shooting at me, but there was this is where the dude got scalped out here in the corner,
that's
remember?
True.
Yeah,
that's
it sure
true.
Is, yeah.
We live at the corner of crime and crime.
Damn.
Yeah. It's happening.
Although I don't...
It was a gun, Bean.
What? I didn't say it wasn't.
Oh. I was expecting to be not believed.
No, I do believe you. Right. Although I tend to agree with you that they weren't shooting at you.
Right.
There are a lot of people who would have a lot of reasons to be shooting at you. That's what I was going to suggest is, yeah, maybe they weren't this time, but at some point you're going to get shot at.
It will happen. Yeah, I don't doubt it.
So what's the protocol on something like that? Is that a phone call that needs to be made? Do we need to alert the authorities? What?
I don't know. How do you know protocol for gunshots? Man, where I grew up.
He didn't see anyone.
I grew up in the hood, man. That's how you live.
The
mean
streets of ground.
The mean streets of Mesa, Arizona. Is that what you're
talking about? Mean streets of Phoenix.
I don't know. I just wondered if that's the sort of thing that we need to, you know, drop a dime or something, just in case, you know, there's follow through necessary.
Drop a dime.
It's an expression.
It's so random. Where would they go? Where would they look?
I wouldn't know what to tell them. I just know I heard a gunshot on the way in. Good
go
times.
Back out. Go back out
I'm
there
not
right
going
now.
Going back out there.
No,
crazy.
Go back out.
But what
go
if
back
they
out
were
there.
Shooting at me? Then they'll go. And this is unbelievable. This is the dumbest guy ever. He just came back out.
You need to protect the rest of the people that work here. What I need
I
you
don't.
To do. I need you to go back out there and I need you to jog around the perimeter of the building with a sign or some sort of neon marker.
No,
so
no,
they have
our
a
intern
better sign.
Just walked in.
You want me to?
That's what he's for.
You want me to draw out the fire?
With the intern.
Yeah.
Because what they do in the movies is they put something out there. Usually they, you know, throw a rock or something so that they can look and see where the gunshot is coming from. They look for the flash. And you got to do that while it's still dark out because you have a better shot of figuring out what direction it's coming
from.
But
you know who does that? Police or private eyes, not citizens.
Let's send LaBamba out there. Seriously, let's send LaBamba out to the parking lot and see if he can get shot at and find out and have him report back and tell us if it's all clear or not.
That's fine with me.
Okay. Psycho Mike, will you make that happen? Will you get LaBamba out there, please?
Sure. Yeah,
okay. Get him to go out and literally just run the
and
perimeter.
Keep running until he hears a gunshot.
And if he doesn't hear a gunshot, he has to stay out there and run.
And maybe he needs to scream, "You guys are pussies! You want some of this?" That you can't hit me.
You missed last time.
Yeah.
You're not good shots.
Well, we'll either get an update or we'll need a new intern in about 10 minutes. We'll find out. So 1-800-520-1067. That is the toll-free telephone number. If you want to be part of the show, it's something we like to call Kevin Bean's What It Do Nephew. Hit it, Steve.
We're sorry. You must first dial 0 or 1.
What it do? What it do? What it do?
What it do, nephew?
What it do? What it do, nephew?
It's a copy of Anchorman, The Legend of Ron Burgundy. It's the Rich Mahogany edition, which I hope will be the definitive edition, and they'll never release another one with even more stuff on it, because this does appear to have it all. It does. It is out on Blu-ray and DVD, and you get the Blu-ray copy for being on the air with us.
I think. I'm not positive, but I have purchased, I don't know, 17 copies of that movie, because it's so great. But I think this is the first Blu-ray.
Just an update. Yes, La Bamba is on his way out. He's grabbing his jacket.
Good. Okay.
And I told him to just walk back and forth right by the street access in our parking lot.
Did you tell him to yell at the shooter?
No, I didn't.
Come on.
I think he can be silent. Just stand. And, or excuse me, and pace. He's going to walk back and forth, and he's going to come back in an hour from right now and give us an update.
An hour?
An hour?
Yeah. Okay, good. Let I think know. That's enough time to...
Yeah. If they're going to shoot him, an hour's good enough time, right?
I think it's more than enough time. If they shot Kevin 10 minutes ago, then it seems like if he goes out there...
They didn't
you know,
shoot me. They just shot a gun.
Shot at you. Okay.
Well, I don't think they... After they shoot, maybe they're just hiding in the brush. They, you know, let's make sure that we give them enough time
could
to
be
come out and fire another shot.
Or make sure that they have we haven't dropped a dime on them,
yes,
like Bean says.
Yes. Yeah.
Or we all come running out with guns.
Hey, we should
wouldn't
go back
awesome
out. Don't we have like a BB gun or something in there? An air gun?
Did you grow up in Arizona in like 1750?
No,
like,
I didn't.
Why
no
do you have this? And why is your ethic that of a cowboy? Do we run out guns a-blazing?
But don't we have some type of memory? Because we told Dave or somebody not to shoot it, and we broke the window in the
right
hallway. Remember that?
Yeah, yeah.
It may not
do you
be
want, a... Do you want to turf it into a turf war? Is that
yes
what you're trying to do?
It
I'm just trying to find out. I'm just trying to find out who it is.
If we have a turf war, let's get real guns first.
You don't want just a BB gun?
No.
But it looks like a real gun.
All right. Let's try our man Nacho, who we haven't heard from in a while. He's on line 3, calling with some late breaking news. Hey, Nacho, welcome to the Kevin Bean Show. What it do?
Hey, what it do? What did you do, baby?
What it do?
What did you do?
Yeah, I heard it. Go ahead.
All right, man. What's up with the scientific guy? You got to apologize to him.
Really?
What's
why
up with the scientific guy?
Well,
oh, the earthquake predictor?
I don't know that a 4.1 counts as being above a 6. I mean, I'm no math whiz, but to me, no. I say no.
Yeah, well, hey, he said it was going to be 4.1. Then he lowered it down, didn't he?
But look, Nacho, there are 4.1s by the thousand.
Yeah.
He said it was going to be in LA, around LA, Ventura County. Hey, not that far.
Dude. What he said was, and this is what we were holding his feet to the fire about, he said there was going to be a 6.0 to a 7.0.
Which is a huge difference between a 4.1.
Devastating.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it was going to happen last, I don't know, Wednesday, Thursday, or Thursday, Friday, and then again this Wednesday or Thursday. So yeah, we're going to talk to him tomorrow. And he's going to go, yeah, 4.1. And we're going to go, that's not a 6 to a 7.
Not even close.
All I know is you got to apologize, baby.
We don't.
Okay, you're not listening to anything we're saying.
Did you just take a shot at me? All right, hold on.
Let's try Brian. He knows something about the sketchy neighborhood that the radio station is in. Hey, Brian, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What it do?
Good morning. What it do, nephew? Hey, baby, Bulita.
Hi, Brian.
What's going on?
Hi.
What'd you see?
Hey, I won ESPY Awards tickets just recently, and I had to park around the radio station, or should I say around a corner from the radio station.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And there was a drug transaction that happened right in front of me.
How much did it cost you?
About $20.
That's what I thought.
No, we joke about being in Compton. We're in a terrible neighborhood. I mean, there's prostitution that goes on out in front of the building. There's no Kevin wasn't joking when he said a guy got scalped and left in the intersection by the station about, I don't know, a month ago,
who
something
gets
like that.
Scalped in 2010.
Some of your Wild West friends, Kevin.
That's crazy.
That's
I mean, scalped. I haven't heard of that since a Western movie, you know?
Yeah. No, it's pretty dodgy, dude. So actually, I'm not really surprised that Kevin got shot at, but thank you for the call. Let's do one more, and this is going to be Ken. He is on line 4. He's having an even more exciting morning than you are.
All right. Hey, Ken.
Good morning. What it do?
What it do?
What it do?
Ken.
You know what? Compton ain't that bad. I live in the mountains, and we have people that get eaten by bears.
Yeah, well, there's that.
Yeah, that's
anyway,
true.
I woke up. I like waking up early in the morning, but this morning when I woke up, my neighbor's house exploded.
Your neighbor's house exploded?
Yeah, I don't know what they're doing over there, but
it caught fire, and we had our whole neighborhood, man. Just, I mean, everybody was up, the fire trucks, the ambulance.
What happened? You don't know how their house got set on fire?
I have no idea. We live in the mountains. It's getting cold. People are starting to light fires in the fireplace. It's probably a chimney fire. Who knows? But their house was real alarm, man.
Hey, hey, dude, be on what? Just so I know, what part of the mountains do you live in? Like, what neighborhood?
Lake Arrowhead.
Are you sure that they're not cooking meth?
Oh, yeah, for sure, probably.
That's a good question. He thinks they. You think they are, yeah?
No, I don't know. Oh. No, it's just probably a chimney fire.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Well, that's... I don't know. I think you... I still think Kevin wins because he was shot at. You were just next door to where the fire was.
Yeah. Compton has nothing on
that is true.
Thank you for the call.
Tim is suggesting maybe Doc was the one that shot at me, but Doc would not miss. He's an expert.
That's true. He is a marksman. Yeah. Yes.
And he will kill us all one day. All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Wait. I'm sorry. I wasn't listening. What?
Brian Deegan will be on the program today.
Yeah.
Talking about the 2010 Lucas Oil Off-Road Expo.
Okay.
We have some new citizens of the day for you. We're going to talk about ass dialing mistakes. You put your phone wherever your phone is, and then it dials whoever it wants to dial, and then they listen to whatever it is you're doing.
Bean.
By incredible coincidence, because it hasn't happened to me in a long time, we had this discussion yesterday, and then I ass dialed my wife yesterday afternoon.
All right.
I was out walking Veruca on the beach, and she listened to
it.
Nope.
Right.
Nope. Sounds like I'm playing Mad Libs, but in fact, my dog Veruca, we were out taking a walk on the beach, and I dialed her up, and she just heard us just walking on the beach for several minutes, and of course, can't use the phone until she's able to hang up on me, which she wasn't able to do.
Bean did that one time to us. Remember, we spent like 15 minutes trying to figure out what the noise was and like what he was doing. I think we came to the decision that he was banging a cow, right?
Yeah.
You remember that?
I think that's the elaborate story that you made up for comedy. Yeah.
We have Dr. Drew on the program today. We have I don't know, Ed Norton.
Oh,
how about that?
My gosh.
Ed Norton.
That's big.
Ed Norton.
Yeah,
the hilarious and jovial and jolly Edward Norton.
Oh,
on the program
he's such
today.
A great actor, though.
And yeah, he sure is.
He almost always picks great movies.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I mean, no one's 100%, but man, he's got some pedigree.
Yeah.
And he should not be slumming it on our program. So hopefully he won't figure that out before we talk to him next hour. Quick break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show, less than 1 hour away from Oscar-nominated actor Edward Norton coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, in a new movie with Robert De Niro. How much do you want to see that? Come on.
Yeah.
First, though, time for the Showbiz Beat. Got a couple more days without Ralph Garman. He returns Monday. In the meantime, we are keeping you posted with what's going on with our favorite celebrities, including Jessica Simpson. Great story. I applaud her for doing the good work and heading to the Persian Gulf to visit with the troops. Because, let's face it, no one wants to see Jessica Simpson sing. But if you're over there, you know, serving the country, you're in the desert, as a guy in the military, it's not too bad to look at Jessica Simpson for an afternoon,
yeah.
right?
No, it'd be great.
That's true.
That's pretty good eye candy. Anyway, Us Weekly says that she did not prepare very well for the trip. Apparently, she didn't drink any water, but sucked down 3 Red Bulls before she jumped on a helicopter on her way to the USS Harry S. Truman, where she was going to be performing. What's that do to your stomach there, Kevin? Too much Red Bull, nothing else.
No water? You're probably going to puke.
Yes, indeed. That's exactly what happened. She got quite sick. Doctors gave her an IV. She attempted to sing, but the performance was cut short after just about a song. She got seriously nauseous. And look, she's a terrible singer anyway. When she's healthy, she's a terrible singer. I can't even imagine how bad that performance was.
Oh, it must have been so much more entertaining to see her puke. Don't you think she threw up and the spin is that she just got nauseous?
Yes, that's exactly what I think.
So the troops are like, yes, we had Jessica Simpson. She was hot. She started singing and then she threw up and that made her stop singing.
I just love that.
That's got everything.
Jessica does try, but she does fail a lot.
I would throw up on a helicopter. I have thrown up on helicopters. Maybe she just
can't
ride in helicopters.
But it's funny.
It is funny.
It's funny that it's her. And Bean's
right.
Enjoy
that.
She's not a good singer.
No, that's absolutely true.
In the best of conditions, she's not.
Yeah.
Blake Lively has been talking about The Town. As you know, she played the hooker. She a hooker?
Kind of a girlfriend.
Kind of a girlfriend, but a skanky one.
Yeah, totally.
She was... talking about, she gave an interview to AbsoluteNow.com, but I also heard her tell it on Letterman that she was filming a scene in a seedy bar, and apparently Ben Affleck had gotten real ex-cons that had been in jail for 15 or 20 years that were from the Boston area and had stocked the bar with them.
To be the extras.
Yeah, to be the extras in the bar. And she didn't know that until she started talking to us. Oh, yeah, yeah, I'm from, yeah, I'm, I was out in Los Angeles for a while. Oh, yeah, what'd you do? Time.
Oh, man.
And then she went over to Ben Affleck and said, you had to get real ex-cons? We have actors you could do. He said, I wanted it to look real.
Yeah.
So she was surrounded by ex-cons.
Dressed like that. Oh, that had to be fun.
Yes.
I still haven't seen that movie, but I hear that it's almost impossible to tell who the actors are and who the, you know, the real people are. Because it's not just cons. I mean, he did that in the whole movie. He just stocked it with real Boston people, which
And it looks really...
It does.
I mean, you can't tell, and it's a great movie. You need to see that, Vinny.
I will. Really believe good. Me. I'm looking forward to it. Well, this is a funny story. I know he may be doing it for attention, but his friends are with him. A guy in Seattle named James Burns, who has put up a website trying to raise money to pay Weezer $10 million to break up. Now,
what?
He's not even that big a Weezer fan. He says, it's not even me. It's just that my friends get so excited because they're hanging on to the dream that Weezer will one day be good again because they were 15 years ago. And they break my friends' hearts every time they come out with a new record. So what would it take for them to go away?
What were the good old days? The Pinkerton days or something like that?
For some people, it's Pinkerton. For some people, it's, you know, either the Blue Album or the Green Album.
Yeah.
But, you know, for every one of those, there's sometimes two or three albums where you go, it's Maladroit, you know, and he just says his friends are just getting tired of being disappointed. So I don't think it's realistic that he's going to raise $10 million. So far, he's only raised $194. Yes,
out of 194.
Right, exactly. But he says, look, Weezer hasn't been musically relevant for 50 years, yet they still seem to be everywhere. He also wants to know why the media continue to pay attention to Weezer, even when they've never made a good album. This is funny, by the way. The drummer for Weezer, Patrick Wilson, is the first to respond online. He says, look, if you can make it $20 million, we'll do the deluxe breakup. So now they've got a new goal, I guess.
By the way, a bad Weezer album is better than most albums.
That's a good point. Yeah,
I like them. I mean, I agree that they are not 100% consistent, but I think they're always interesting. So I'm fine with Weezer, but it is funny that a guy would go so public with trying to get a band to break up.
Yeah, and he's not the one that doesn't like them. He's just doing it on behalf of... Some more information on the Ashton Kutcher cheating on Demi Moore rumor. Star Magazine has been following this a lot. They have an interview with Ashton's supposed mistress, Brittany Jones, who claims not only that it happened, but that Ashton and Demi have an open relationship filled with threesomes.
Oh, interesting.
Hollywood Life has already published some excerpts, one of which says they share women, but he isn't supposed to go off and sleep with women on his own. Demi had to be there. And then Demi likes to pick the girls out.
I bet for relationships that include threesomes, I bet that's a fairly standard rule, which is, look, if we're going to be having sex with other people, it's going to be with the consent and knowledge of, you know, your partner.
Right.
But you're not supposed to be stepping out and doing it without me that I don't know about it.
And I'll bet she picks girls that are not as hot as she is.
Do you really believe this?
Yeah. What, do I believe it?
Yeah.
Sure, I want to, yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I choose to.
There's no way to know. Everyone's guessing.
There's no way to know. I'm going to choose to because I think it's sexier.
We have long had a policy on this program that if Lisa May watches and likes the show, it's sure to be canceled.
Now what?
I want to know if you've been watching the Jimmy Smits legal series called Outlaw.
No.
This is the one where he plays a former Supreme Court justice who resigns and becomes a lawyer and lives the good life. You haven't been watching that one,
I have not.
I've been taping that one.
Yeah? Well, Deadline.com reports that NBC has stopped production on the show. Oh. It is still on the air. They've made 8 episodes, so they are going to continue to air it until the ratings get so bad that they just can't justify it anymore. But, you know, it has not been canceled. It's just on life support at this point, pending a ratings turnaround. Then they'll make some more. Otherwise, it's just going to go away.
Have you guys watched Blue Bloods? The Tom Selleck, Donnie Wahlberg? Not.
That's the Friday Night Cop show, right? He's in a family of cops. I hear it's good. Yeah.
It is. Now I worry about it.
I see Tom Selleck's name. And I don't think I'm in.
Really?
I mean,
yeah. It's a good cast. You might like it.
He was relevant long, 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 long before Weezer.
Well, that's true.
By 30 years.
But that doesn't make, again, just because something's old doesn't make it bad, Kevin. This is the discussion we always have. He's still a good actor. Yeah. He was hilarious on Friends for all those years, for instance.
All right. Take it easy. I don't really care that much.
This is Jimmy Smith's second failed. Remember Kane?
Yes.
That was the one he tried to do a couple of years ago, which I didn't think
was very
good. And he's a good actor. He's great. I love him.
He's a good actor, yeah.
Mike, the Situation's girlfriend, has been telling the media that...
I didn't know he had one.
Me either. She's been telling the media that his manly unit is, quote, an impressive size. What do you bet the? What do you bet he's making her do that?
No, I'm sure.
You gotta go tell him something about me good.
All right, situation. What's the real deal? Is she just saying it or is it true?
Of course, we're talking real grade A Italian sausage. It's huge.
Okay, all right. Of course, you would say nothing else, I imagine.
Right.
I don't remember if we talked about Courtney Love tweeting a nearly naked photo of herself on the air or not.
We did.
But
as a result of that, she has quit Twitter again. This is the third time she's quit Twitter in the last year. She says that it was put up purely by accident. It was meant for a boyfriend. And she did not mean to accidentally tweet it to the whole world. She's got a million followers or something like that. Please don't get excited. If you didn't get it, you're lucky. You didn't miss anything.
It wasn't great.
It was not great. But every time she leaves Twitter, she comes right back. So I don't think we're done with... Yeah, this is the third time she's quit in a year.
But it's Twitter's fault.
And is it because she keeps misusing it?
I don't know why.
I think she gets frustrated. I think she probably gets a lot of hate on Twitter. And yeah. I think she probably gets frustrated and says, it's not worth it. I'm not going to do it.
Having spent two different sessions of about two hours apiece with Courtney Love in the last year, and you guys have spent a lot of time with her too, she's just the most impulsive person on the planet.
Yeah.
So she may just quit just because.
She's just in a bad mood.
She doesn't think about her actions. She just...
But she'll start again today, maybe. Who knows?
Today's celebrity birthdays, by the way, Simon Cowell, one of the richest men in show business, now a former American Idol judge, turns 51 today. Singer Toni Braxton is 43. How about John Don't Call Me Cougar Mellencamp, turning 59 years old today. Tico Torres, the drummer for Bon Jovi, is 57. Radiohead's Tom York turns 42. Nice. there's that. From The View and her own show on MSNBC, Joy Behar is 67 years old today. Star Search supermodel winner Bobby Brown is 41 today. And maybe the lamest of all the American Idols, Taylor Hicks. How can that dude only be 34? He looks 60. Oh,
when he tried out, he was 60.
I know.
Yeah. What's up with that? Yeah, that is the show. Hey, party people, thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show, MGMT, Incubus, and Muse, all straight ahead. We were talking about this week's Glee episode, and this has happened to so many people, where you see Jesus or the Virgin Mary or something like that in some sort of inanimate object, and you think, hey, that's a sign from heaven. Listen up.
I saw the face of God. Literally. I had made a grilled Jesus.
You know, you can get those now. They sell those.
Absolutely, yeah.
I got one for Christmas, I think from Bean or somebody, where you can actually make a grilled Jesus.
But see, that's cheating. We're talking now about the people who really do get visited from heaven because they see Jesus in a tree or the Virgin Mary on a board, and they believe that it is some sort of a message from heaven, and they're supposed to act on it. They're supposed to line up for it and pray for it and protect it and light candles for it. And stories like this come along every three or four times a year or something like that. It seems like you see one from around the country. We have a friend named Aisa who works here at the mighty flagship station of the Kevin and Bean Show. And she crazy. We love her, but she crazy. And she told us in the office so nonchalantly yesterday, oh, yeah, that happened to me. I saw the Virgin Mary. Hi, Aisa.
Good morning.
The Virgin Mary. Where did you see her?
I grew up in this little town in Arizona, and it actually happened last year. I got a call from one of my friends in high school, and she said, hey, get this. The Virgin Mary appeared on the side of a house. Actually, it was on a water heater. It had rained. And all of a sudden, after days of raining, the stain that appeared on the outside of the water heater was the image of the Virgin Mary.
Is it the Virgin Mary because it's a blotch and you want it to be the Virgin Mary? I mean, why isn't it Charlize Theron or why isn't it Hillary Clinton? I mean, how can you really tell who it is?
Well, because it's the outline of her shape. It's the outline of her image. I mean,
so the famous iconic drawing of the Virgin Mary is what you guys are saying. We don't know whether that has any relation to the real Virgin Mary, though.
We do know.
I think it does.
We do know.
Okay.
The answer is no. So I says to Aisa, I says, but so the outline on it looks like the Virgin Mary.
Mm-hmm.
It does.
And she says, without batting an eye, it was her.
It is her. Who else could it be? I mean, if it was...
Any woman.
How many women walk around with, you know, this beautiful shroud around her and a crown and roses and things like that?
I'm willing to accept that there was something that made the dirt or something that made the shape of the Virgin Mary. Let's say that.
Kevin, it's about faith. It's about believing that it's something. It's
here's the thing. You can believe in the Virgin Mary. I believe in God. I don't think either of them are on the outside of a water heater. There's a difference.
Why can't it be? wouldn't it be great to have some sort of a small, however small it is, reinforcement that it could possibly be
but
real?
But isn't the fact that you wake up in a beautiful world with beautiful things and beautiful people and love in your life, isn't that enough proof for you?
Oh, sure. That is enough proof, but I'd like to be able to go and kneel down and worship at a water heater and see the Virgin Mary.
You're joking, though.
I'm not joking.
Did you go home and do that?
I went home to see it. I went, and there's literally, they've built a glass in covering. There's candles and flowers.
All right, Aisa, we love you very much. Thank you for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show.
You're crazy. Thank you.
David, thanks a lot for hanging on, man. When did you see the Lord?
Probably like 4 years ago. I was back from the Navy hanging out with my buddy at his house, having a few beers, and we were watching TV. And I couldn't see the TV real well because it was really dusty, so I asked my buddy for something to wipe the TV off with, and he just threw me a sock, and when I wiped the TV off, I looked at the sock, and Jesus was in the sock.
There it is.
So the dust that came off the TV screen was in the shape of the classic picture that we know as Jesus.
Yeah. And it was kind of like, I'm like, this is a weird coincidence. So we kind of put the sock aside and waited till the next morning and looked at it. And sure enough, it was Jesus in the sock.
Now, here's the crux of the issue. You think it was Jesus or it just happened to be in the shape of?
I think it just happened to be in the shape of him.
All so right. You washed it?
It wasn't my sock. It was my buddy's, but it was dirty when he gave it to me. I'm hoping he washed it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, if it turns out to be Jesus, you are going straight to hell. You have signed your own death warrant. I'm sorry.
You'll put Jesus in the washing machine.
He's like, what do I have to do? Let's try Lorenzo, line two, here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Lorenzo. Thanks for hanging on. What happened, man?
Hey, Kevin and Bean, Lisa May.
Hi.
Who'd you see?
All right. So I was in the shower. I was actually getting ready to take a shower, and like you know how like when you have it on hot, the steam starts to go on, and the door is actually clear, so you can like kind of see through it.
Right.
A few minutes later, I noticed that it got really foggy, but there was like an image starting to create, and like a few minutes later, I actually noticed that it was the face of the devil.
So what'd you do? What did you do?
I turned off the shower and I got out of there.
Yeah. Well, that's your only option.
Did you wipe it down?
No, like, I just wait. Like I just didn't even go to the shower like the whole day. It was just kind of like little like freaky. Just out of
Do you believe in God and the devil? Did you think it was the devil, or it just freaked you out?
It just freaked me out. Okay. I was like, what the hell is that? Yeah.
What the hell is the joke? Like, we don't even. Yeah. We don't.
He's got the horns, Lisa. For God's sake,
that's
don't you know
costume.
Anything?
I
know.
I would think the water would be so hot in the shower if you had the devil in there with you. I would think. All right, let's try which one you like. We don't have very much time here.
Well, I like Robert. I think we're going to have to get to The Rock.
Let's talk to Robert.
Hey, Robert.
Hey, good morning, Kevin and Bean. Morning, Lisa May.
Good morning.
Now, so far we've had a lot of vanishing things, a lot of stains, this dust on the sock,
steam.
Right.
You found what on a rock?
Yeah, like my family was, we were cleaning out our backyard and we looked at a rock and supposedly like the image of the Virgin Mary was like, on the rock.
Now, when you say supposedly, you mean you didn't see it or you did see it?
I did see it, but honestly, I didn't picture the Virgin Mary until they told me it looked like the Virgin Mary.
And then when they told you that, you said...
And then I said, well, yeah, it kind of looks like her, but I mean, it's just like a weird stain.
I haven't seen the Virgin Mary in a long time. Is this young, hot Virgin Mary? Is this old, busted Virgin Mary?
This was like... I don't even know if I could say this because I'm Catholic. I guess it would be young, hot Virgin Mary.
All right. Yeah, I don't think the Catholics... I don't think they're down with the hot Virgin Mary.
All right, so I guess she wouldn't have been a virgin if she's hot. So what did you do with the rock then?
They kept it for a while.
Did they firmly believe it was the Virgin Mary?
Yeah, they did. They really believed it was the Virgin Mary.
Did you believe it?
Then don't you keep it forever?
No, they didn't keep it because over like the years the stain started to fade. So,
interesting. She was moving on to the hot water heater. You know,
that's right. Look, she can't be everywhere at once. She's just one person. I'm giving you all I got, Captain. Here's something you don't know about your man Kevin, who you listen to religiously on the radio every day. He hates horses, and I can't figure out why a guy hates horses.
No,
what's up with you?
I don't hate horses. I like horses, but
really,
I don't. I'm not into movies about them in general.
But there have been some great ones.
Yes, there have. But
there have been some great ones. You even saw Seabiscuit, right?
It was good, yes. But you know what part of the problem is that I have been invited to advanced screenings every day for 3 years for this Secretariat movie.
That is true.
Every day for 3 years, and it starts, hey, horse fans.
And that just bugs you too much. Do you know. Even it's, get over the fact that it might be a good movie?
Look, it might be a good movie, and I might go see it. But
I just remember when...
it's the greatest athlete in... No, it's not an athlete. Aren't athletes human? It might be the greatest horse in the history of sports. All right.
But it's anytime you see anyone, horse or otherwise, dominate in a field so much. I mean, look, Secretariat is a horse that won the Triple Crown in what, 1973. Now, two of those three races, I don't remember which two, Secretariat still holds the record today for fastest time.
Right.
And imagine how far that sport has come in terms of training and exercise and medicine and everything else since then. Two of those records still stand today. I mean, that's a phenomenal accomplishment.
Yes, it is. In the world of horse racing. You know, maybe part of it is that I don't understand horse racing. Like, who knows? We've been out to
Santa Anita a bunch.
And, you know, we do those brew fests and stuff like that. And the brew's the good part of it. And then you can gamble on it. And I never had any idea how to pick a horse or whatever.
I didn't either. So. I do it, but I never won.
But this one is supposed... Tell us why this is interesting, Bean. It's not the horse, it's the owner, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know a lot about the story, but what I have gathered from the pre-publicity is this is, first of all, a woman who owned the horse, which was very rare in that time in American history. Second of all, you know, very little experience. This is one of those horses that kind of came out of nowhere and didn't have, you know, the big multi-million dollar backing that a lot of them do to become the champion athletes and just blew everybody away with just sheer talent. And there were, you know, it was a combination of a lot of things that made the horse such a big winner. But the movie, you got Diane Lane, of course, who's always great. John Malkovich is in the film. Mm-hmm. Of course, you know, Sarah Jessica Parker plays Secretariat like she would. Scott Glenn, who's a terrific actor, he's in the movie too. I mean, it's just got a great cast. It looks like all sports movies, which is you got the underdog who comes in, who wins real big, and everybody goes home feeling good about it. That's all it is.
I hear you. I mean, I can see that.
I'd like to see that.
Okay.
Sounds fun.
As a matter of fact, this is a little bit of a bonus. You didn't even know this, and I'm glad you didn't talk the movie down too much. We actually have Secretariat on the phone. Sarah Jessica Parker, who plays the title horse, is on the phone with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hi, Sarah. Welcome back to the program. How are you? Well, congratulations on getting the role. Sorry. I didn't realize you were still talking, Sarah. Congratulations on getting the role of a lifetime playing one of the most famous horses in American history.
Did you have to train a lot for this role?
I bet, yeah.
We can see that.
It does. I mean, you've done a lot of different kinds of movies, but I haven't ever seen you be in anything so athletic. I would imagine that would have been tough for you. Right?
Was it fun working with John Malkovich?
Yeah. I sent some tension there. You guys didn't get along?
Oh, wow.
Is he kind of a dick?
Maybe
he... All right. You said it. I did. Look, don't look at me.
Did you have, like, a salt lick in your rider, in your contract?
What?
Yeah.
She enjoyed that. Okay. What's it like having a midget jump on your back every morning when you start work?
Wow. No kidding.
Wow.
Sounds like she's coming back. How about that?
Good.
So Kevin will enjoy the movie. You recommend he see Secretariat 2?
Secretariat 2's already out?
Also.
All right.
Are you worried about being typecast as having such a horse face after a movie like this? Sarah? I didn't mean. Oh, come on! No, I was just that look.
Away.
Oh, Sarah, that's
come
I'm,
back.
That was mean.
I was pretty sorry. Mean. I wasn't trying to be. I accept your score.
Such a good interview to them.
It's a long, long gallop, isn't it?
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Thursday. Tomorrow, big day in theaters. The film Stone is released. You know, we have long talked about, Kevin, there's a very short list of actors that we always go see their movies when they've got them out. It's all you need to know is Edward Norton is in the film Stone. I'm in. He joins us on the phone on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, Ed, how are you, man? Thanks for joining us.
Hey, how are you guys?
We are good.
Doing great. Very exciting to see you and Mr. De Niro back together again. I love that first movie, the score that you guys did together. And I imagine you both had a good enough time. You couldn't wait to do it again, too.
We did. Yeah. We after that one, we said, let's keep looking. And it took us a while, but we found this and had a great time again.
You guys sort of have the same work ethic?
Yeah. Actually, there are things about the way we work that are very similar. you know, he's very meticulous. He's like a real researcher, and I mean, I know people think of him as so tough and everything, but he's really he's like the librarian of actors. He just studies and studies and takes notes, and he's like a big note taker and question asker. It's like it's really interesting.
Do you think he's going to kick your ass for saying that he's the librarian of actors?
No, I think he would like. I think he would like it.
All right.
The impression I get about both of you guys is you're the opposite of the actor who takes a job for a paycheck or takes a job because it's in a location they'd like to visit for 3 months. You guys are very involved in every aspect of the movie. Is the impression that I get, and not just your part. You're concerned with everything else, and you've got a lot of things to say to the director, which I imagine has got to be so intimidating for your director to be working with both of you guys and trying to make both of you happy on the set.
Well, actually, and this the guy who directed this, I had done another film with. I did The Painted Veil with him and Naomi Watson, and he and I became really good pals also, and I think he's brilliant. This was actually his project. He pulled me and Bob into it. So actually, in this case, I think it was a group of people who had worked with each other before, and it was very comfortable. He was great, great director, and so it was really for me and De Niro. I think it was nice. We just got to act in it. He really had it well in hand.
Tell us about Gerald Stone Creason.
Well, the film's, you know, De Niro plays a parole review officer in a prison who's about to retire, and he gets one final case that he's got a review of an inmate who's up for parole, could be up for parole, and I play the inmate who's sort of so desperate to get his freedom that he starts trying to send his wife, who's played by Mila Jovovich, outside the prison to connect with this officer and kind of manipulate him, and it's a very dense and intense film to be actually.
It's got to be such a fascinating conversation. I'm sure it's great in the movie, but even in real life, when these guys are sometimes up for parole, you know, for the fourth time, and all they want to do is get out, and then somebody could make the decision to let them out if they can just prove that they're okay.
That's what the whole film is about. How does one person judge whether another person has authentically changed their life and who they are, and it blows back on De Niro's character because the prisoner starts questioning him and saying, you know, what have you done in your life that, you know, is so perfect that you're allowed to sit there and judge me? And it's it gets very philosophically interesting.
I'm sure you've been asked this a lot, but how do you research that? Do you go talk to prisoners who were just about to get out?
In this case, that was all I did. Really, I went to this prison north of Detroit and got to speak to dozens of these guys who were in, a lot of them from you know, the sort of gang and drug culture in Detroit, and a lot of them who were getting close to that process, or they'd been through that process, and it was it was fascinating, to be honest, to talk to these guys about what it does to them psychologically to know that this is coming up, that someone's going to sit there and sort of, you know, judge them. They get really anxious, like so anxious that they can't sleep. It's intense.
Is there any kind of review, or that guy just says, "I think you're ready," or "I think you're not," and you have to just go back in? I mean,
it's a process. I mean, it's like there's these psychological counselors write reports. Lots of people interview them on different levels and then write reports, and then a parole board does it. So it's not in one person's hands, but the reviews matter, like what people write in these reports matter.
All I know is ever since I saw that old footage of Charles Manson showing up for his parole hearing with a swastika on his forehead, I realized there was one way to not get out of prison.
Yes, that's probably a no-no.
Now, I wonder, again, you know, it's funny, I hadn't even thought about this, and what a great premise for a movie, especially with two guys like you across a desk from each other. I mean, it really does sound fascinating, Edward, but I wonder how many of those guys really do believe they're rehabilitated and ready to face the outside world and aren't going to get in any more trouble. And how many of them are just play acting, just going, "Hey, I'm going to say I found Jesus, and I'm going to say that I, you know, gave up drugs, and I'm going to say whatever it takes just to get me out of here."
Well, and that is I think the fun of the movie is that midway through it, you start really being challenged to guess whether this spiritual illumination this guy is claiming he's been through is authentic or not. And it's not just a, you know, this isn't just a twist kind of ending thriller. It's a real actual meditation on how do you even quantify what spiritual growth is and what real change is. It's almost like in the vein of Dead Man Walking or American History X or something. It's a serious but very intense film.
On a personal level, what is it like to have cornrows? How long did it take you to shoot this?
It took like an hour and a half. There's no Hollywood hairstylist who really knew how to do it. So I went to this salon in Detroit, and this lady named Crystal with forearms that are like the size of my thighs, kind of like yanked them in. It took my face a couple of days to settle down,
sure.
from the facelift of it. But
oh, that just seems like it sucks so much.
Yeah, it does. It's not a good look.
I thought I looked pretty hard. You know, like I thought it was.
It did look hard.
My fear is between you and Kenny Powers on Eastbound and Down. I'm afraid that cornrows are now going to be the hot hairstyle.
I know Danny. When I saw the bus stop, I triple-taked. I was like, I didn't approve that shot.
Well, the movie looks fantastic. It is called Stone. It opens up in...
De Niro's as objective as I can be. This is one of the best things he's done in a while. He's just off the chart great in this. And so Mila Jovovich is... If you've only seen her in Resident Evil, she's just unreal in this film.
That is quite an endorsement. It opens up in limited release tomorrow and then even wider on Friday. Please go see the movie. And thanks to Edward Norton for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Dear Kevin and Bean, the email comes in from listener Andy. Were you guys really just interviewing pre-recorded horse sound effects, pretending it was Sarah Jessica Parker, who you were also pretending was playing secretary in the movie? Christ, I miss Ralph. Well, we all do, but he will be back on Monday. In the meantime, we're taking turns filling in on the showbiz beat. This time, it's Psycho Mike's turn. Try not to offend the gays. What's going on?
Yeah, well, like Bean said, we all miss Ralph. But I'm going to give you a little treat to kind of tide you over until he gets back. Okay. Who wants to see Jackass 3D?
Me.
Oh, everyone.
Everyone in the world. Who wants to see it early? It comes out October the 15th, but you get a chance to see it Wednesday, October the 13th. The first five people to call in to 1-800-520-1067 and tell Chip and La Bamba, high five.
I've watched that clip 30 times?
Might be.
Just as funny the last time.
I don't think I'm overselling it. Might be one of the funniest things to ever happen in cinema.
Yes.
Bam Margera getting smashed to the ground by that giant hand. High five. 1-800-520-1067. First five callers get a chance to see Jackass 3D early. Kevin, you know you're a big Laker fan too, just like myself. And you know how you hate the Celtics, and I'm sure there's Yankee fans out there that feel the same way about the Red Sox fans. You hate the Celtics and you hate the Pistons, but you also have a built-in respect for them. And you want to see them be good teams because it makes you feel like
you're beating somebody good.
It makes you feel like your rivals are really someone you should appreciate. Well, it was May 19th when CBS made the huge and kind of odd decision to move Juggernaut Big Bang Theory to the Thursday night 8 o'clock slot, which is incredibly competitive. Welcome to 8 o'clock, Twitter immediately read from Dan Harmon, the executive producer of Community.
Okay.
He wrote that to Bill Prady, who is his counterpart on The Big Bang Theory. Well, that sparked a huge and unusually candid and public conversation between the two that then went on to include My Generation's ABC's new show at that same time slot, executive producer Noah Hailey. They are now all friends. They've been going out for drinks on a consistent basis, encouraging each other to put out good television. Mr. Harmon went on to say, there's so much at stake. There's so much competition. But none of it is our fault. There's no reason why we can't encourage each other to make good work.
That's kind of cool.
It's not what we want to hear.
In an incredibly kind of competitive, but like oblique world of entertainment and television, that's cool.
Is the My Generation dude looking for work?
Good point. Another very cool story, another heartwarming story. Metallica will release a live album the day after Thanksgiving. This is according to Polestar.com, which is pretty reliable, and it's going to be live at Grimey's. Grimey's is a 100 to 150 seat club in Nashville.
Awesome.
So Metallica in a small venue like that. Very cool. They played that the night before they headlined the Bonnaroo Festival. But you can't buy this at Walmart or Target or Best Buy or pretty much any big retailer at all. It's only going to be sold in a small amount of independent retailers that took part in Record Store Day back in April.
Oh, interesting.
So it's to encourage people to go out to their local record stores and buy stuff there. For a list of those stores where you can get the Metallica live CD, live album, the day after Thanksgiving, go to mymetalclub.com. Jessica Simpson is very, very attractive, but very fat.
And she's not very
no,
fat.
She should stop
she's
eating altogether.
She's gotten rounder, though.
But she is making strides in losing weight because it says here that she's vomiting all over the Middle East.
All right.
She headed to the Persian Gulf last week to visit the troops. You know, good on you for that. But Us Weekly says that this dinghy broad got on a military helicopter with no water in her body, but she downed 3 Red Bulls right before she got on there.
Hmm.
Needless to say, the show started, and then the vomit, you know,
ensued. She's a new secret weapon in the Middle East.
You guys did the story earlier, and you brought up a good point. That was probably the coolest thing she could have done for the troops.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What a great story, right?
Yeah, because she's still, even though she's fat and disgusting, she's very, very pretty and has giant cans. So she gets up there in her inappropriately tight outfits. She still thinks she's in Dukes of Hazzard shape. She gets on stage in the mom jeans and the tight top, and then starts singing her horrible music. And they're like, "Oh, this is
kind of sucks.
This is kind of crap."
Now you got a show.
That's entertainment. Watch failing celebrities puke.
She does have great cans.
Now, a blonde that's getting it right. Blake Lively.
Yes.
Yes.
Blake Lively's got a body that just won't quit. And she dresses like a complete whore from what I'm told in the new movie, The Town.
Oh, she does.
Yes. Well, she was very shocked to find out that in the movie, The Town, when they were filming that Ben Affleck, the film's director, surrounded her with extras that were actual ex-cons.
Some pretty recently.
Yeah.
That'd be unnerving. I gotta be honest.
Yes.
Hey, wait. These aren't just actors? No, they're in jail.
No. Okay, so wait.
First woman they've seen since they got out.
The whole room of ex-cons, and I'm wearing a skirt that I need 2 haircuts to pull off, and you decided to tell me now? No, and like I said, I have not seen the movie, but I hear it is fantastic. Our friend Slash is pulling a Christopher Maltasanti and getting into the horror film business.
All right. Horror?
Horror.
Oh, horror.
Horror. Deadline.com says the guitarist will team up with Scout Productions to start slasher films. He's going to make...
All right.
The goal is to make more B-type movies that were inspired by the 70s and 80s horror flicks that have become kind of popular as of late. First up is Nothing to Fear. It's about a family tormented by an ancient demon in a small, rural Kansas town.
There are always small towns in the Midwest, man. Telling you right now.
Scary place to live apparently.
Yeah, well, dangerous.
Demons, they love those places.
I mean, I will...
Killers?
Bean, you live in a more remote area. It's just a lot more scary, especially come nighttime.
True. Yeah.
So dark.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you're walking through the middle of Manhattan, if there's a million people around, it kind of takes away from the fact that someone's going to jump out and kill you. Today's celebrity birthdays, American Idol judge Simon Cowell, Toni Braxton, who, like a fine wine, seems to be getting hotter as she gets older. John, Don't Call Me Cougar, Mellencamp is 59 years old. Tom York has effed up eyes.
He does.
And he is 42. And that is the Showbiz Beat.
Thursday on the Kevin and Bean Show, our friend Dr. Drew Pinsky. Not a real doctor, by the way.
He's a real doctor.
Regardless of what he tries to tell you. Psycho Mike would know he works with me every night on Loveline.
No, doctor.
I think he mailed off for a certificate or something.
He's Mike's doctor.
Also, Brian Deegan will be on the program later on today. And butt dialing gone wrong. All that straight ahead here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though... Talking about Kevin's favorite time of the year for movies. Yeah. October is your month, right?
I just love scary movies so much. And the problem with scary movies is that they come in waves. Like, for a while, there's not very many scary movies at all.
Right.
But usually, around Halloween time, they bring them all out. And they can be so promising and so disappointing. You know?
Because you want to be really scared.
You really want to be scared. And the concept is good, and you get to it, and then sometimes the payoff isn't so great. But
yeah.
It sure is. I just love it every single time. The more it scares me, the more the commercial looks bad, the more I want to go see it.
Well, I know you're going to like this one because it's from our friend Wes Craven, who joins us on the phone back on the Kevin and Bean Show. Wes's latest is called My Soul to Take, and it opens up everywhere in theaters tomorrow. Wes, welcome back to the show, my friend. How are you?
Hey, thank you. Good.
We were marveling right at the end of the song before we brought you on. Kevin brought up that you've been involved in making horror movies since 1972 and have apparently never lost your enthusiasm for the genre. This thing has really got a hold on you, didn't it, Wes?
Well, you know, it's a great genre. You can do just about anything you want to do as long as you scare people. And you can also make them laugh and you can make them think. And, you know, as long as you get that audience on the edge of their seat, they stay with you.
And you're kind of unlimited in where you can go with it, too, which I imagine is another draw for a guy who makes movies, is that it can be, you know, it can be any of 1,000 different plot lines. It can be as fantastic. You're only limited by your imagination, really.
It's true. I mean, Nightmare on Elm Street is a good example. I mean, everybody that read the script thought, this is too different. The audience won't be able to relate to it, but actually, obviously, it did extremely well because the audience is quite smart and quite elastic, you know, in their taste. My Soul to Take, the film I'm releasing now, is a coming-of-age story also, and, you know, it has a lot to do with family, a lot to do with friendship, and it's very, very rounded characters, but it's also very scary. And I think we'll kind of be a genre bender.
Now, My Soul to Take comes obviously from the Children's Prayer, right? Now I Lay Me Down to Sleep?
Yeah, it's a prayer my mother taught me when I was about 5 years old.
Yeah, and it was good until this movie.
And now no parent can say that to their kids anymore.
If I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. And so everybody goes, oh, yeah, that's cute and fun, and let's use that prayer. And now all of a sudden you've ruined it.
Is this an idea that's – I know you're the writer on this film also, Wes. Is this something you've been wanting to do for a real long time or some relatively recent inspiration?
Well – it was, you know, in the last couple of years, I mean, the idea came to me that, you know, of a serial killer who has seven personalities and only one is the evil one, who is, you know, who dies. And on that same night, mysteriously, in this small town hospital, seven children are born. And the mythology is that when the movie begins, these kids are just turning 16, that the killer is supposed to come back, and the fear is that he's in one of the kids.
Ah.
So, you know, the movie takes place in the 24 hours of their birthday, which is called Ripper Day, because the killer was called the Riverton Ripper.
Oh, it's so good to be...
There's all sorts of strange linkages between the kids and, you know, parents that aren't what they seem, and all sorts of wonderful things.
I'd like to start calling my birthday Ripper Day.
That's pretty cool.
There's no reason why you can't. Now, do I hear correctly, did I pick this up in the commercial, or am I dead wrong, Mr. Craven, that this one's in 3D for the first time from you?
It is.
Okay.
It is.
Was that the plan all along, or is it because it's become so popular now that the movie company came to you and said, Wes, seriously, this just did. Got to be 3D.
Both of the above, but, you know, I said no.
All right, good.
And then they said, well, we just ask you to go look at the process as it is state-of-the-art right now. And I actually went to the place who had done Clash of the Titans, which had gotten terrible reviews for being hard to watch. And it looked fantastic. And it turns out that, you know, because 3D in its present form is being introduced, you know, in a big way all across the country, many theaters at that time especially did not know how to project it well. And you have to have a special screen. You have to have a special projector.
Oh, I didn't know you had to have a special screen for that.
Yeah, they're actually going back to the silver screen, literally.
Wow.
Oh.
All I know is guys with giant heads like me, those glasses start just cutting into the sides of my head. By the end of the movie, I'm bleeding. But
which is appropriate coming out of a Wes Craven movie, you'd be bleeding.
Yeah, that is perfect, right? It's what you want.
So artistically, though, you were satisfied with what it did to the movie artistically? I mean, it's a decision that you're glad you make that you think makes the movie better, not just more expensive for people to see?
Yes, I really do, because we insisted that we do it subtly, so it's not the hatchets flying out into the audience version of it, but there are ways to kind of, you know, compress or expand space and kind of warp images and bring people just slightly forward to the screen in ways that are very dramatic and at the same time the audience is not even aware of. So that was one of the things that really intrigued me.
I imagine this genre would be the best for 3D, just because of the scary nature of it and you being drawn into the, you know, the room with whatever guy is there or whatever. It just seems like it would be the best genre for 3D.
Well, it certainly lends itself to that. But, you know, in the past, it's been kind of gimmicky with the, you know, the arrow coming into your eye or whatever.
Right, and it's almost
We did not do that, but the very subtle usage of it. I mean, what I discovered, and I think it seems to be the fact, is that 3D is just coming, and it's going to be everywhere.
Right.
And most movies are going to be released in that. So it was kind of like, okay, you're going to be standing on the dock waving goodbye, or you'll be on the boat. And then, you know, so long as you can use it the way you like it and make it subtle and not stupid, it might be better. And sure enough, I mean, we just had our premiere last night, and it lends something really wonderful to it, and the state of the art is getting a lot better.
We are talking to legendary director Wes Craven here on The Kevin and Bean Show about his new film called My Soul to Take that opens up everywhere on Friday. Let me ask you this question about your movie and the horror genre in general, Wes, and that is, the horror movies are so rarely made available to critics ahead of their release, and I was fascinated by that because I wonder if it's because they don't think that critics matter in a movie like this because people just love the genre and they go, or what's that all about? Or that critics can't judge a good horror movie versus a bad horror movie? Why do you suppose that decision is so often made with this genre?
You know, I think it's a studio thing, and I literally had a studio executive say it to me very recently, is that reviews don't matter for the audience, that the audience generally don't check the reviews to make sure that they should go see a movie or not. It's more word of mouth. And so I guess they just don't want to risk getting a bad review, and
yeah.
I guess they think bad reviews do matter. But I've always wanted, I wish, you know, that my Salt Take had been put out there for reviews. I think it's going to get great reviews.
I've seen 1,000 movies that got bad reviews.
some of them are really good.
If it looks good to me in the trailer, I'm in.
Yeah.
And let's face it, these days, especially with the internet and how connected particularly fans of this genre are, the word will spread fast. If a movie is good, it will get good word of mouth, and people will go see it. And if it's not, then it'll die based on its artistic merits, I guess.
It's almost instantaneous. I mean, you know, the tweets are out there, so you know, you can check that within an hour after the movie first opens.
Right. Well, we always love having you on the Kevin Bean Show, and we're so fascinated with, as long as you've been doing it, you still seem to have such enthusiasm for it, and it's always so much fun to go see your films. We can tell you're a guy who's really into it, and this new one looks terrific. My Soul to Take, it's called, opening up everywhere tomorrow. Wes, we won't talk to you before then, so have a happy Halloween, and thanks for joining us, man.
Thanks, guys.
You are listening to the Kevin Bean Show on a Thursday. Thanks a lot for tuning in. It happened to me again yesterday. I ass-dialed my wife. I'm out walking the dog. And my phone calls her up, and now she's stuck on the phone listening to me walk on the beach with Veruca. And
is
I
that
think,
code?
It's not code. We're not playing Mad Libs. That's what actually happened. How does that happen where your phone dials out when it's in your pocket? What's the deal with that?
I'm saying with the new touchscreen phones, it happens all the time. That's just some random collection.
They have the lock feature, but somehow your tight pants or whatever,
yep,
whatever's in your pocket, somehow it will unlock it and then dial someone.
Or when you slide it in your pocket before it's unlocked, before it hits that screen. I do it all the time. I hate to say it. The other day, I accidentally dialed up a female that I know in a business capacity, nothing romantic, but she got to listen to me singing at the top of my lungs while I drove in freeway traffic.
I hope it was a lame song.
It was.
Yes.
It was Till Tuesday, Voices Carry. And I was like really into it. And then it carried into Adam's song from Blink. Oh, it was so embarrassing.
And she heard the whole thing.
Yeah.
Wow, great.
Well, we're going to be taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. We want you to intentionally dial us this time to tell us stories that you have been a part of, whether you were the person who received the call or the person who accidentally made the call with ass dialing. And this is what made me start thinking about it. We got an email yesterday from a Kevin Bean listener named Gordon. A friend of a friend of his is a salesman and is supposed to be out working during the day and decides to stop by his girlfriend's house to knock one out during the midday, right?
Okay.
Well, somehow, I don't know how, his phone dials back to the main office. They answer the phone, see that it's him, put it on speakerphone.
All right.
And the entire office listens to them having sex for 15 minutes.
Now we're talking.
Now, at the time that Gordon sent this email, he had not heard back from the friend about what the result was of that, whether they just all thought it was hilarious and there's nothing going to happen, or is he going to get fired because he was supposed to be out working and he was instead having sex or what. But imagine what that must have been like for him when he found out that they had heard all of that and that happened. Oh, my God.
She was probably embarrassed. He was probably fine.
He's like, you guys, it's all high fives.
How did I do? I was good, right?
He's like, hey, I lost a job, but it was worth it because I am a stud. Has that happened to you guys, Kevin or Lisa? Have you ever done the ass dialing?
I haven't done it, but I've been ass dialed. I definitely have.
Does the ass actually dial, or is it just the tight pants?
Someone I was dating talking to his ex-wife for 10 minutes, which was
really
so weird.
Wait, now, was it bad? Like, was he
no,
talking
it wasn't.
To him?
Okay, but I was waiting for bad.
You didn't hang up, did
Hell
you?
No.
No. Remember when Bean, he dialed us accidentally, and we were just all sitting around, just like Bean's story about the office. We were all sitting around trying to figure out what the sounds were, what was going on. It was like you were walking or taking care of animals or something. And
then there was a Boy Scout meeting, which was odd.
Yeah, strange. That was strange.
We started hearing odd noises and strange things. And I don't know. We were trying to figure it out. There's a baby. I don't know what happened.
Well, we're going to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. That is the toll-free number. Let's take one before the break, and it's going to be Tanya. She is on line 8. She has exactly the kind of situation that we are talking about. Hey, Tanya, welcome to the Kevin Bean Show. What happened?
So a few years back, it was my son's parent-teacher conference. I let my fiancé know that it was coming up, and he said he wasn't going to be able to make it because he had training.
Okay.
But time he was a firefighter going through the academy and all that.
Okay. So he doesn't really have a choice. When he has training, he has training.
Exactly. So I attempted to call him just to find out what time he would be home. Didn't get an answer, but he called me back about a few seconds later. I'm assuming, well, it was from his butt, obviously.
That's so funny.
He called me back, heard music in the background and female voices.
Yeah.
There is no female firefighters in his class, so I knew something was up.
Mm.
I listened for the next, I want to say, like 6 minutes, just intently listening, and it turns out he was at a strip club.
There you go.
Oh.
There
he is.
God, he's awesome.
Well, you're at the parent teacher conference, and he's like, Autumn to the stage, Autumn to the stage.
That is fantastic. So, what happened? Was that big trouble for you guys?
Yeah, I hung up after nothing was going to come of it. I just hung it up, and I started calling him back over and over again.
Mm.
I finally did reach him. You know, I asked him, "Where in the hell are you?"
Wow, you seem a little uptight.
Yeah.
Wait, I want to hear his answer.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, he couldn't deny it. He was at a strip club. He, said straight out, "Yeah, we're at a strip club. We got out early."
That's okay. That's part of fireman training, I think.
I'm not sure how you figured that out, but I will say, though, it's more fun than going to some crappy kid's parent-teacher conference. Let's be honest. I mean, come on, Tanya. If you're really being honest, he made the right choice.
And you were there. You had it covered, right?
Of course.
All right.
Very good. Thank you for the call. 1-800-520-1067. You ass-dialed or you were ass-dialed? We want to take your stories right after this on the Kevin and Bean. Right now we're talking about ass-dialing. We'll get right to your calls at 1-800-520-1067.
Or pants-dialing. Wherever you put your phone, somehow it dials people and you don't mean it.
Last year, Kevin and Bean, I accidentally dialed my boss while speaking with a coworker. I didn't realize it at all. A few minutes later, I got a call from her asking why I had called her the B word and the C word.
Oh, man.
Believe it or not, I still work there. Good times, though. See, that's not what you want. Let's try Mike. Mike is on line 4, joining us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Mike, you know what we're talking about? Tell us your story.
Yeah, good morning. Good morning, Lisa May.
Good morning.
Okay, my buddy's wife called me at 4:30 in the morning after a party, and she asked where he was at. She knew he was at my house. Well, he ass-dialed his wife while he was having sex with another girl in the other room of my house.
He asked out his wife. What does that mean?
He dialed her with his
ass-dialed. Oh, I see.
Yeah. Okay, wait a second. Hold on a second. So he was at your house having sex with another woman when he accidentally called his wife, and then his wife called you to find out what the hell was going on.
Yes.
Good.
And you
times.
Said.
All right.
I took my phone in the other room and said, "Hey, bro, your wife's on the phone."
Oh.
Sure enough, he was with another girl.
Oh, you're a bad friend.
You did not exactly cover your friend, man. Wow.
Yeah, I didn't know what was going on, so. Needless to say, they got divorced shortly after that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thanks to you, by the way.
I don't want Mike as a friend.
Thanks to his friend's butt.
Well, 4:30 in the morning that call comes in. That's awesome. All right. Let's try Benjamin, line 2. Speaking of hearing the sexy time on the phone. Hi, Benjamin. Welcome to the show. What happened?
Hey, good morning, guys. Good morning, Lisa May.
Good morning.
What happened?
My girlfriend called me and told me that she was going to be staying late after work. And about 2 hours later, she ass-dialed me while she was outside of a club smoking a cigarette, talking to a guy, apparently in mid-conversation as a friend of hers introduced her to this guy.
All right.
And
so she was setting her up with him.
Yeah.
Oh, can't really say that on the air.
Sorry about that.
Yeah.
And she apparently the phone was far enough that she couldn't even hear me say that.
How long did you listen and how bad did it get?
15 minutes. It was about 15 minutes.
You can't hang up once you're listening.
You can't.
They were outside of the club. And I was just listening. And they walked back into the club. And then the phone got drowned out by the music of the club.
Yeah.
How about that?
So she's not still your girlfriend, right?
Oh no. She's actually in the car right now.
Oh good.
Are you serious?
See?
Yeah,
a happy ending.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for the call. Let's try Monique is on line 1 here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Monique. Ass dialing is the topic. What happened?
Hi. Good morning, guys. Good morning, Lisa May.
Good morning.
So this is my first year of college, and the first friend that I really met, got really close to, we roomed together.
Well, one weekend I went home, and I guess she had called me to tell me to come back early, or it was this party, whatever. So I wasn't going to be able to go, so of course she was upset. I guess her butt angrily dialed me back.
Yeah, butts can be angry.
Yeah. So I actually didn't answer the phone. I was busy. I don't remember. But I got the voicemail of 10 minutes of her ranting and talking how I'm a flake and I'm not a friend.
All right.
Yeah. Horrible, horrible.
Your first and only college friend at that point.
Not only, but one of the better ones, apparently, that I thought.
Wow.
So at the end of the message, I just hear her and she's like, oh, shies. Like, and then she turns it off.
Oh, man.
So she realized it way too late that she was leaving all that. That's funny. By the way, I think most of us would not want to ever accidentally hear what our friends and family members say about us when we're not around.
I agree.
Yeah, that's... Yeah. Because
people say a lot of sad but true.
People say a lot of mean things, and most of the time it's just in anger, and they don't really...
They're just blowing steam, maybe.
Let's talk to Sarah. She has an interesting story. Hi, Sarah.
Hi. Okay, so I had broken up with my boyfriend. Oh, hi, Lisa May.
Hello.
Well, I had broken up with my boyfriend, and I, you know, didn't think to take his phone number off yet. Anyway, I butt-dialed him while I was talking to my coworker about how small his junk is.
All right. Oh, the final insult.
The timing of these calls is unbelievable.
That's the worst possible conversation you could have been having when your phone did that.
I know, and we even nicknamed it Little Pigs in a Blanket.
Oh.
God. That's rough.
Look, it's one thing for him to find out that you think it's tiny. It's another thing that he knows now that you're out there sharing that information with everybody else, and you and your friends and coworkers are all laughing at him.
Oh, he should have known that if he knows anything about girls.
We do that, yeah. You got to know that.
He should have known that before he had a really tiny penis, I guess.
That's true, yeah.
Thank you for the call.
Let's try.
I think I may have the smallest penis in the world.
Yeah, you don't want that. That's not good.
Let's try Adrian. This is a different angle. Hi, Adrian.
How's it going, everybody? How's it going, man?
Hi. Good.
One night, I was talking. Well, actually, I didn't get butt dialed. I got boob dialed.
Boob dialed? All right. So she kept her phone in her bra.
Exactly.
Okay.
She has a BlackBerry. She doesn't have a touchscreen. So I was the last person she spoke to. Well, we hung up. I get a call from her about like 15 minutes later. And all of a sudden, don't hear anything. Then I hear, out of nowhere, I hear, there we go. Just like that. kind of like a gagging sound off.
All right. We got it.
So she was having an oral conversation with another guy.
Exactly. It was her boyfriend. The best part about it is that I couldn't turn it. With listening to sounds like that, you can't just hang up.
Of course you can. Of course not. Oh, but wait a minute. So this was just a friend. It wasn't a girlfriend.
No, it wasn't a girlfriend. It was a friend. The best part about it is that they're a real reserved couple. You see, they hang out with us. They're all good people, but they're real reserved. They don't even hold hands in front of everybody.
You had to tell them about it, though, didn't you? Didn't you like recount some of the things they said?
Well, yeah. That best part about it is that night we were hanging out, and I pulled her out to the side, like, "Hey, so what did he enjoy?" She's like, she had no idea what I was talking about. At 15 minutes after we hung up, I knew what you guys are doing. She's like, shut up. Well, good thing I had voice recording. I managed to record the phone call.
Nice.
And showed her.
All right, you're going to need to send that in.
Let her listen to it, and she freaked out. Everybody freaked out. Everybody got a good kick out of it.
Did she stay friends with you, or was she too embarrassed to ever look at you in the eye again?
No, she's still friends with me.
That's awesome. That's a great story, man. Thank you very much for calling.
Thank you. Thanks. Boob dial. We didn't even think about that. That's a good one.
Brian Deegan joins us after the top of the hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show, and our friend Dr. Drew Pinsky, because it's Thursday. That is still coming up. First, though, filling in for Ralph Garman, it's Kevin and Bean with the Showbiz Beat. And Kevin, you could be right. The rest of us could be wrong. You might have seen through this Chelsea Handler dating 50 Cent story that has been everywhere this week. You were the only person I saw who denied, said there's no way it's true. The rest of us said, nope, it's happening.
Based on nothing, but come on.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a gut. There's no way 50 Cent.
It just doesn't
fit. It doesn't compute.
Okay. Well, Chelsea and 50 Cent, you know, the photos came out of them closing down a jazz bar in New Orleans, and that's what kind of sparked this recent story. And then, you know, people started looking at 50 Cent's Twitter and realized he'd been talking a lot about Chelsea Handler since they met at the MTV Video Music Awards earlier this summer. Chelsea Handler herself went on Twitter yesterday to shoot down the reports that she is dating 50 Cent. Here's what she said. Everyone calm down. I met with Mr. Cent about a potential project. There's nothing to report yet. I'll let you know if there is.
So Us Weekly, by the way, is still standing by their story, saying it's been going on for a while. It's more of a hookup thing whenever they're in the same town. So Chelsea says no. Us Weekly says yes. Who are you going to believe?
Me. 50 Cent has better options. That's what I'm saying.
That is true, actually. 50 Cent does have better. And by the way, how is 50 Cent still a hot commodity? The guy hasn't done a good record in 5 years?
Yeah, I don't know, really.
It's is it because his movies maybe have kind of kept him out there in the public eye a little bit? Because, maybe. You know, usually, especially in the rap world, usually, you know, you are forgotten about. We've moved on to somebody else, but for some reason, there still seems to be some fascination over 50.
Yeah, I don't know. And I don't think he's a particularly good rapper, by the way.
He's
not. But his acting has turned out to be pretty decent.
Good. Yeah. Have you seen the hot chick on the cover of Candy magazine?
No.
No, I don't think I have.
Well, you glance at her and you go, hey, she's pretty hot. And then you just take a beat and you look again and you go, oh, whoa, what? Not so hot.
Why?
And then you realize it's James Franco.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He's dressed in full drag on the cover of Candy magazine. You have to look at the picture because really only at first glance is he hot that way. Right. And then immediately you start looking at it and you go, this is all wrong.
Something's bad here.
He's got bright blue eyeshadow, blood red lips, false eyelashes, a bunch of jewels. He says he's heterosexual, but he's just celebrating all people.
He does unexpected things all the time. His movies.
Yeah.
You never know what he's going to do. I think he's a really interesting guy.
I do too. But he does not make an attractive woman on second. Just only at first glance. But second glance, you realize no.
He's the guy who stars in that movie about the dude who got stuck in the mountains and had to cut his arm off.
Yes.
That's getting ready to come out, right?
Is that 147 days? Oh,
127 hours, I think it's called, yeah.
Days, hours, it's a number, I don't know. That would be a lot of days, wouldn't it?
If he was there 147 days, I think he would have died, is my guess, probably. But interesting dude. Here's a new list from Forbes magazine of the most powerful women in the world. And there are a lot of show business names on the list. The headline is Lady Gaga is more powerful than Nancy Pelosi, who, of course, is the Speaker of the House. Gaga came in 7th on the list. The Speaker of the House came in 11th. Lady Gaga, by the way, earned $62 million in the past year.
Wow!
How about that?
In 1 year?
Yep, she sure did. Beyonce is number 9 on the list. Madonna all the way down at number 29, which is a big drop for her. She's, it's funny. Madonna has had an unbelievably successful career for decades. But don't you get the feeling that she's starting to slip? Don't you get the feeling that she's now starting to kind of really be replaced by people like Gaga? In case you're curious, number one on the Forbes list doesn't make any sense to me is First Lady Michelle Obama.
Huh.
Just she doesn't strike me as a powerful person. You know what I mean? She's married to a powerful person, but I don't see the First Lady as being a powerful person.
Gives her access or she can make things happen or...
Yeah, maybe.
That's odd.
I don't know. She did win a Nobel Prize, though. I know that for being first woman, first wife. What do you call her? First lady.
First lady.
47 days.
Blake Lively. Blake Lively, we've been telling you about in The Town. She plays a pretty slutty chick, and she was filming in a seedy bar, and apparently she realized just all of a sudden, 1 second, that pretty much all the extras were real-life ex-cons. She started asking around. So you act? You're an extra? You act? No, I just got out of state penitentiary. Oh, okay.
I killed a chick.
I killed a chick. Apparently, she went to Ben Affleck and she was like, is everybody in here an ex-con except for me? And she was wearing a super short dress.
Oh, yeah. It's just very slutty.
And she was a little scared.
I don't blame her.
A little scared.
Today's the celebrity birthdays ahead of Brian Deegan. Next up on the Kevin and Bean Show, singer Toni Braxton, who for a while had her own show out in Las Vegas. She is 43 years old today. John Mellencamp is 59 today. Simon Cowell, former judge of American Idol, turns 51 today. How's he look for 51, you guys?
Pretty good. He could wear looser shirts, but pretty good.
He certainly could. Yeah. Speaking of American Idol, former winner Taylor Hicks, who may be playing at a Denny's restaurant lounge near you, is 34 years old today.
34!
I know. Crazy, right?
That's not possible.
And Joy Behar from The View is 67, and that is the show biz beat.
All right, so this doesn't happen every day. I was coming into work, and I heard a gunshot. And then I heard a bullet whiz by.
I'm sorry, you were driving to this place?
Yeah, I got out of my car.
You were in this parking lot?
Right here, yeah. And then...
It's not even like you drove by. You were walking from your car into the building when you heard a bullet fly by your head.
We're going to have to do the Marine crawl from now on.
From our car.
Oh, my God. We're have
to, especially after that dude got...
Scalped?
Got scalped out on the corner. What's happening?
Like a month ago?
Right in the middle of Compton. What's happening here?
Yeah, it is a fairly dodgy neighborhood. So let me just say, don't take Kevin and Bean for granted because one of us may not be here soon. Just with the hazard of getting into work. Okay?
That might be me. It's the world famous K-Rock at 8:08.
Brian Deegan is a true pioneer of freestyle motocross. He knows to stay on top of the sport, the price can be enormous. You've heard the saying, put your life on the line. For Deegan, this has become a way of life.
Backflip from the last time when I crashed and lost my kidney, so it's pretty cool.
I'm dying. Like, I felt in my head, I knew I was dying.
And I'm jumping over four sharks.
Deegan with the 360 on a 250 dirt bike.
Metal Mush just started as a group of friends that were edgy, core, had character images tattooed up, basically starting the trend of the, I have to say, the 909 scene, and it just was about a group of guys who, I raced Supercross, walked away from the sport of Supercross after winning the LA Coliseum, and started freestyle motocross, but knew there was like a group of guys that just needed a name, and so we thought Metal Militia.
Brian, yes, go ahead.
I think Brian is the Pope of the Metal Militia, if they have that position.
I wasn't aware. That's what they called it.
Yes.
Hey, Brian, welcome back to the Kevin Amin Show, man. How are you?
Good. How are you guys?
Very good. Thank you.
Always good to talk to you. Now, I want to make sure we understand this correctly. Your event this weekend, the Lucas Oil Off-Road Expo, this is not a competition, not a demonstration, not a race. It's you meeting the fans and giving people an opportunity to learn everything there is to know about the sport, right?
Yeah, for sure. It's all about off-road. You know, I'm out there for the truck racing part, and it's kind of cool. This time it isn't about watching. It's about coming up and hanging out with the drivers and actually getting to meet and getting autographs and stuff.
So it's this Saturday and this Sunday at the Pomona Fairplex, and you're going to be out there. When?
I'll be out there Saturday signing at the Maxxis tire booth from 1 to 2. It's booth number 119. And then I'll be at the four-wheel parts booth from 3 to 4 and hanging out at the Lucas tent before lunch. So should be cool.
And by the way, we're not allowed to say that it's Saturday, Kevin. When you're talking about an event like this, it has to be Saturday, Saturday, Saturday!
No, that's true.
There's only one way to do it. How's the season been going for you, Brian? How are you stacking up this year?
Well, it's been a rough one. I'm either winning or crashing, so it's been a tough
Come
one.
Come on! You got to do one or the other, dude.
Yeah, imagine that. And that's pretty much the way it's been. And when I'm on, I smoke everyone. And when I'm not, my truck's breaking. So, you know, and the bottom line is it's been a good season. Hopefully I can still win the championship at the end, but it's going to come down to a close one.
How often do those trucks break? Because it seems like you put them through such hell.
Oh, they break. You know, that's the thing. You're rolling the dice. These trucks, you're beating on them, jumping hundreds of feet in the air, smashing into each other. It's not like NASCAR. We're all delicate, barely brubbing.
Right. You can't touch. You can't touch the other car.
Yeah. They're like landing on each other. So it's basically a lot of 800, 900 horsepower, you know, ripping the transmissions apart in the rear end. So it goes through a lot of parts.
Is this in some ways one of the most expensive sports a guy can decide to get into just because of all the mechanical updates that have to be done?
Unfortunately, yeah, I figured that out, you know, the hard way. So, you know, dirt bikes are cheap, you know, and relative. You know, I thought dirt bikes were expensive when you're buying a dirt bike for $10,000 a pop. And
right.
This is more like a couple hundred grand a pop at trucks. And, you know, it's an expensive sport, but a lot bigger sponsors, bigger TV coverage. So it's pretty good.
And it's a lot easier when you wipe out, I imagine.
Exactly. And I'm not losing organs. And worst case, I catch on fire and burn to a crisp.
Yeah, that's all good.
That's about it.
Come on. The worst thing that can happen, Kevin, is you can catch on fire and burn to a crisp. Now, has this sport captured the – and you're a great guy to have on, Brian, because you've done so many different sorts of things. Has this sport captured the imagination of young people who fall in love with it at a young, young age like they do with freestyle motocross, and they come up to you and they go, man, I really, really want to do that?
I think it's getting there. I think it started as a Midwest sport, more older guys such as NASCAR when it started, and I think it's bringing in guys like myself, Twitch, you know, Jerry McGrath, guys into the sport. I think it's bringing the younger demographic in, and it's getting there. And the TV time's so good, You know, the thing is, it's cheap to get a skateboard, you know, a bicycle, even a dirt bike. You know, and they have a trophy cart class now that's more affordable for kids who are racing. There's tons of little kids out there on the weekends racing with us, so it's pretty cool. And they're in roll cages, so it's safe.
No, oh, that's such good fun to watch those trucks just smash into each other and bump and hit. And that's good times right there.
How about your little kids? What do they think about the sport?
My daughter actually races. Haley, she races a little modified kart, and she does really good race against the boys. And my son, Danger Boy, he's 4 years old. He rips on his dirt bike, and he's bound for glory in something. I'm trying to keep him mellow, but he's crazy. And
yeah,
so
he's your son. What do you expect, for God's sake?
I know.
Danger Boy is going to live up to his name.
Yeah. Well, it's a great opportunity to get up and close and personal with the biggest names in the sport, the Lucas Oil Off-Road Expo is happening this weekend, Saturday and Sunday at the Pomona Fairplex in Pomona, offroadexpo.com. And again, if you want to meet Brian, and I know Brian is great with the fans, you can meet him Saturday from 1 till 2 at the Maxis display, and then at the Pro Comp exhibit from 3 till 4. Brian, stay safe, man. Always great to catch up with you on the Kevin and Meat Show. Have fun this weekend.
Thanks, guys. See ya.
Thank you, man.
Dr. Drew in minutes for our weekly Thursday visit coming up here on the Kevin and Meat Show. Right now, it's time for Citizen of the Day.
And now it's time for you to meet Kevin and Bean's Citizen of the Day.
We like to highlight these people because it makes us feel better about ourselves. Like,
yes.
These people are really dumb, so we're just sort of dumb. We're better. I got three stories for you today. Woman sets husband penis on fire to stop him from cheating.
That sounds reasonable.
Rajini Narayan loved her husband so much that she believed setting fire to his penis would stop him from cheating. It was a preemptive burn.
Look, I don't suggest that ladies take a page out of her playbook and start doing that all around, but it's hard to argue with its success rate. I mean, he is not going to cheat if his penis is burned to a tiny crisp.
He's not going to do anything with her either.
That doesn't seem like it's a little extreme for a preemptive thing, does
she
it?
She doesn't want anyone to do anything.
Look, I love you so much. I don't want you to ever stray from me. So I'm going to burn your penis.
This is like these women that get their boobs taken out before they get cancer, just to be on the safe side. It just seems like it's too much. You know what I mean? Go ahead and wait and burn, set fire to him maybe after he cheats. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, he died.
Oh, he died? Oh, my God.
Can I please have that for Bean's death quarter, too?
Awesome.
Oh, man.
Died.
You saved that.
Here's story number two, and this always fascinates me about the death penalty. I know there are people on both sides. People believe in the death penalty. People believe it should never happen.
Mm-hmm.
But it kills me when this happens. It happened in Jackson, Georgia. A Georgia prisoner who tried to kill himself last week by slashing his arms and throat with a razor blade was executed Monday night. What happened was he tried to take his own life, so they had to stay his execution.
So they could heal him.
Yes. So then they took him to get, you know, to the hospital to get fixed.
Right.
And bring him back to health. Then they put him in restraint so that he couldn't hurt himself. And then they killed him.
It does
How
seem...
How much money does that
I don't
cost?
Know.
Yeah.
If it's...
Yeah.
I don't know. God. He's doing your work for you. Let him do... Give him razor blades.
Man.
Give him razor blades. Am I right?
Yes.
I mean, let's face it.
And why is a guy trying to kill himself where if he waits like 4 days, somebody else will do it for him?
Yeah,
it's
I don't know.
Much
issues.
Less painful
Control
way.
Issues, yeah. I don't know, but that's ridiculous. They took him to the hospital. They rushed him to the hospital.
I know. They'll do that if you, like, get a terrible flu. We can't kill you while you're sick.
And here's the headline of the year. Teacher sacked for school girl rape tweet.
Uh-oh.
What? Oh, dude.
This is a preschool teacher in Western Sweden. A preschool teacher went to Twitter and tweeted that he would like to rape little girls.
What?
He's a preschool teacher, and he tweeted that.
Well, he may be ill-suited for the job.
You think? He's a 21-year-old dude. He just started teaching. And this is the beauty of Twitter, is that you can find guys like this that are that dumb and put them behind bars instead of having them around your kids. Because
I guess that's fabulous.
It is.
He tweeted it.
Thank God that he tweeted it, right? Because who knows how long he would have been in the job before
that. What kind of freak tweets that? What is wrong with him?
I don't think he's very smart.
Is that someone who wants to get caught secretly?
I don't think secretly. I mean, that's public.
No, but I mean,
Twitter people can read.
In his head.
You know,
he's got some sort of conflict, and so
he wrote Monday using his phone, "I think I will rape 6 to 7 year old girls."
Hmm.
And everybody said, hey, that's the teacher of those ages. Maybe we should have a word with him.
Set his penis on fire. That's the answer.
I agree.
Oh, I like it.
And give him razor blades, all and of the above. Does.
On a new Big Bang Theory.
Now you know, Kevin and Bean's Citizen of the Day.
If that's the way Dr. Drew is going to play it, then I'm going to start a rumor that he's in rehab. How do you like that? Oh, Dr. Drew, famously in control, all of a sudden can't be bothered to make a phone call. How about that?
It's not true. I mean, you're just starting a false rumor just because we can't find him.
I've got a lot of evidence to base it on by the fact that he's supposed to be on the radio with us right now, and he's not. What's the only possible solution for why he's not on the phone? Drugs.
Well, he was touched as a child.
Could be a scheduling conflict. Phone doesn't work.
Nope.
I'm with he was touched as a child. Yeah, and drunk. Wow. That's what I'm with.
Clearly,
and
that's
by the
what
way,
happened.
And right. Psycho Mike, you work with Dr. Drew side by side every single night on Love Line. He's the most reliable guy in the world, right? If Dr. Yes. Drew says he can do something, he does something, right?
Yes, he's doing drugs.
Yeah. Really? See, you, wow. Because you heard it somewhere, right, Mike?
We have an obligation right now to step in.
Who's going
to
rehab him? You know,
that's a great point. All right. In a way, I'm very sad to not talk to the good doctor. Maybe we can find him and do it in a few minutes. But I'm kind of glad we have some time to do this because I've been sitting on this tape for a couple of weeks. I wish I remembered his name. But every once in a while, you come across on TV faith healers.
Yeah.
Now, these are people who, well, it's been going on for centuries. People who claim to be able to channel the spirit of the Holy, you know, the Holy Spirit or Jesus or whatever and heal you. And it's crazy if you ever had a chance to see this, to see the people that they bring up to the front of these arenas. And sometimes these people are speaking in a room of, you know, 10,000 people are there for a service. And I don't know if this is how they get money or what the deal is, but they invite people up who are having health issues and they heal them on the spot. Have you guys seen these? You know,
Yeah, they come up and they say, I've had a hip problem my whole life. And they touch them and the power of God heals them. And
they
I don't buy it.
Fling them to the ground.
I don't buy it. It looks too fake.
Yeah.
And it does. You do always wish that there would be some sort of a follow up a week later to see if that person who got up out of the wheelchair right. at the event is able to. By the way, are we going to check and see if we can get Dr. Drew like in a half hour? I see we found him. So I don't know his name, but he is talking to a woman here in the audience, and you are going to see the extraordinary way that he is able to heal her. And I think it sounds awesome.
Somebody's going to receive a brand new hip replacement, the left hip. Is that you? Stand right here, please. Do you have pain right now? You need a surgery, don't you? The power of God's going to surge through your body. Stretch forth your hands. She's supposed to have a surgery to correct this hip problem. I have faith in God, come Holy Spirit, that right now she's going to be healed by the power of God and receive a brand new hip. Do it, Jesus.
Here we go.
A brand new hip. Bam, 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 bam.
It's like he's throwing
What's happening?
It's like he's throwing lightning bolts from his fingers. It's the craziest thing. The woman is standing there, and of course she's got big guys in suits who are kind of holding her, right? And he's just pushing his fingers toward her as if he's like infusing her with the power of the
Holy
Spirit.
Is she supposed to fall over after the first bam or the last, or how does she know when it's over?
Well, this is what I'm so confused about. How many bams does it take to properly channel the Holy Spirit? I mean, if it's a serious hip problem, is it 3 bams? If it's more advanced, the medical need, necessity, is it 8 bams? I mean, it's just crazy that he's standing there yelling at her.
Bam, 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 bam.
By the way, not edited. All of these bams are on the show. This is what he's doing to this woman.
Bam, bam, bam.
All right, now she's...
How's the hip?
It's great.
It's good.
Yes.
No pain.
It's healed.
It's healed. Jump up and down. Remember she needed the hip surgery? She needed the hip surgery.
A, it's healed. And B, what does Miley Cyrus rocking to the USA have anything to do with what just happened on my TV?
Is that what they're playing?
What's going on here?
Rocking in the USA.
Is that the craziest thing? And these people, by the way, I mean, is it, I wish we had time because I'd love to at some point talk to people who have been to these. Is it just that they're so caught up in the religious fervor of the moment that they get adrenaline going and they temporarily forget about whatever the pain is that brought them there?
I would
is that
guess.
What's happening?
I would guess, but I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know if they're plants.
I bet some of them are. I
just,
bet you they are.
I mean, like, we used to talk about Benny Hinn all the time. He had an enormously popular television show that was, and I guess it was all infomercial time. I guess they bought the time to air it on all the channels and whatnot. But, I mean, this is a guy who was a multi-millionaire. He had mansions all over the world and airplanes and cars because he would get these donations. People would send in money and people would give him money at these live events. And he claimed to be a faith healer. And I don't know how you can go on TV and represent that as being real. It seems like there'd be somebody from the government who would come around afterward and go, hey, that person still needs a new hip.
How about that chick that needed the hip? How is she doing?
Yeah. And the people who, you know, I mean, look, I guess they feel like, hey, you know, Jesus made the blind see and whatnot. So that's what we're doing is we're doing those same sorts of spiritual medical miracles. I just don't know how those guys don't get shut down every single time.
That's a good question.
Like how is it legal?
I wonder if people, I mean, there is something about if people really, really, really believe that can, at that moment, give them the power to stand up out of a wheelchair.
Right, but then a week later.
Right. Not standing up.
Right. That's the follow-up I want to see. But, I mean, somebody, you know, like little Stephen Hawking on Glee, for instance, I mean, his character can't stand. You would think that a guy like, no matter what, you think that a guy, no matter how excited he is, no matter how caught up in the moment he is, if he goes to, you know, this Reverend or Benny Hinn or one of those guys, if he goes to their rally, there's no way he's going to be able to stand no matter how happy or excited he is.
Right.
But I just know, if we've learned, if you take anything away from today's Kevin and Bean show, if you've learned anything, here's how to put the power of the Holy Spirit into a person.
Bam, 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 bam.
I got to keep bamming you. You're still not quite healed. Let me get some more bamming.
That's a lot of bamming.
It's a hell of a lot of bamming. But God works in mysterious ways, so there you go.
Wow. I'm not sure he works through bam.
Found Dr. Drew. Turned out we were wrong. Not on drugs. Just called in too late. But we'll talk to him in about 10 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, we were playing that faith healer a moment ago, and I was asking, why Miley Cyrus? What's up with the party in the USA, and what does it have to do with giving a woman a new hip?
Right.
Kevin and Bean listener Leah writes in, I'm nodding my head like yeah, moving my hips like yeah are the lyrics. See, she got a new hip, so now she can move her hip like yeah. That's why they're playing it.
What?
Okay. Here's Keith who writes in, hey guys and Lisa, how about running the clip of Jim Lampley doing the boxing play-by-play along
Love
with the faith-healing preacher we just heard. It might make me believe I want to believe.
I was searching desperately for that clip, and I couldn't find it.
All right, so here's the faith healer.
Bam, 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 bam.
All right, now give me a little Jim Lampley.
Bang, 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 bang.
What's happening? What's happening with both?
Bam, 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 bam.
Wow. There's a lot of banging going on. A lot of banging.
Not the first time Alex has said that. All right. Producer Alex is here filling in for Ralph Garman. It's time for the Showbiz Beat on the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Speaking of Bam and Jackass,
bang, bang.
Mr. Bam Margera will be in studio next Wednesday.
All right.
With a little guy named Steve-O.
All right.
Hanging out for the morning. And speaking of Jackass, because we love them, I have 5 pairs of tickets and passes to give away to the red carpet premiere of Jackass 3D on Wednesday, October 13th. It's in theaters Friday, next October 15th. And first 5 callers. Look it up,
Chip. It's
going
to be so good.
I'm so excited.
Oh.
Hey, how's it going? High five.
I could watch. If they just edited that high five clip together to, you know, back to back for the entire movie, I would be happy as.
I'm surprised he wasn't clocked out. If you haven't seen the trailer, Bam Margera gets smashed in the face by a ginormous hand and just clocks his head on the ground.
So great.
Good times. All right, I don't know what's going on in the Tom Cruise, Katie Holmes household. I think you guys got to help me out.
Why?
I got like 2 stories in one here. I don't know if you heard that Tom Cruise is contemplating a reality TV show.
All right.
No, I don't even believe that. Have you heard this news?
Well, here's the deal. Apparently, Tom and Katie are disappointed in Katie's public image, that they're aware that people think she's brainwashed.
Right.
In air quotes. Brainwashed.
Is she aware of that or just Tom?
I don't know. And so they want a reality show like The Osbournes. Apparently, Tom was really inspired by Ozzy Osbourne.
Wow.
It's even weirder. To prove that they're, quote, normal.
Oh, that's the worst thing they could do.
I want to see that TV show right
now. Me too.
Because he's crazy.
So now they're debating a reality TV show. At the same time that Tom Cruise's daughter with Nicole Kidman, Bella Cruz, hates Katie Holmes and wants to move out of the house.
Oh, no.
Because apparently all Katie does is go shopping with Suri, and then Tom spends time with the other kid, Connor, and Bella's like left out in the cold.
How come they don't live with their mom?
Well, according to... That's a good question, Lisa. I'll tell you. Okay. According to the custody agreement, Tom gets a majority of the custody with the children, and they see Nicole, like, more
she's
vacations, weekends. She's in Australia, but she's also now in Tennessee living with her hunky husband, Keith Urban. Hmm. And so now Bella wants to bolt and go hang out in Tennessee on a farm with Nicole Kidman.
Sure.
Because that's way better. Yeah. Good on you, Bella. Escape while you can.
You get the idea. You don't fight Tom Cruise, don't you? You just... He wins.
Yeah. Well, the issue is they're afraid she'll stop her Scientology classes.
Sure.
Because you have to take classes.
Yeah.
Sort of like catechism, only weirder.
Not much weirder, by the way.
Dude, way effing weirder.
Not much weirder.
I saw that South Park. Dude, way weirder.
Yeah.
Iggy Pop was going to have a movie based on his life come out called The Passenger. It was going to be about his life and his life with the Stooges. Awesome band he was in. And Elijah Wood was going to star as Iggy Pop. Interesting casting. They were trying to make it work. Well, apparently that movie's been shelved. And according to Iggy, it's nothing against Elijah. The script was okay, but they wanted me to, quote, jump out of cakes and do promotional things I didn't really want to get involved in. Sorry, Iggy.
Who would have asked him to jump out of a cake?
I don't know.
Frightened
people. I want to see that. Come on. But it gets better because now he has a new casting choice.
Okay.
Can you guess who Iggy Pop wants to play him?
Diddy.
In a movie. P. Diddy. Okay.
Good choice. Okay, I think I got this one. Mm-hmm. Wee Man.
Ooh.
Good.
Even better. Lindsay Lohan.
What? Are you talking about?
I am completely serious. According to Iggy Pop, he said, if somebody did want to make a biopic pick of me, I think they should get Lindsay Lohan.
Bam, she bam, 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 bam.
Nope.
Bang, 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 bang.
She looks like me, and she's the only one with enough attitude, too. They could tape her boobs up or something. She's already been in jail at the right age. Everything I thought she could do it.
She doesn't look like him.
That's absurd.
Well, maybe
that's
she
ridiculous.
Does now.
Well, maybe he doesn't want the movie to be made.
Bean, who's the woman who played...
Cate Blanchett played Bob Dylan. Yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
Great job.
Yeah. But totally different, though, than playing Iggy Pop. Totally
and you
different.
Can't... She's got big boobs. That's going to take a lot of duct tape.
Yeah. And you cannot lie.
CGI. Jessica Simpson is not a smart girl. Not a Mensa member.
Right.
So on one hand, she's trying to do a good thing and go to the Persian Gulf and perform for our troops. Admirable. Awesome.
But she's not singing, is she? I mean, she's just modeling.
No, she goes in her little tight outfits and sings.
Well, good. Tight outfits,
yay, America.
Good.
Put a boot up in your ass.
Don't sing.
So according to Us Weekly, she wasn't prepared for a trip to the desert because she sucked down 3 Red Bulls, had no water all day, then hopped a helicopter to board the USS Harry S. Truman, and she got very sick. Once she got on board, the doctors had to give her an IV, take her down to like the medical station, give her an IV. Then she attempted to sing.
She
got up on stage, tried to do one song, couldn't get through one song, got completely nauseous and threw up.
All right.
Listen.
That's entertainment.
Can she not be white trash for one day?
No.
Just one day act like you know, is all I'm saying. You're finally there. You're in the Persian Gulf. You're entertaining the troops. Stop it.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
Isn't that more entertaining than the rest of her singing would have been?
Yes, for the guys there, absolutely.
I'm sure they cheered.
Of course.
She does have great cans.
Woo, pew, woo.
Good music news. Metallica is going to release a new live album the day after Thanksgiving. Pollstar.com says live at Grimmies. Am I pronouncing it right, Mike?
I thought Grimmies. By the way, I'm sorry. I missed. The day after what?
Thanksgiving. Oh, no. Nope. Yep. I don't know.
You got to say it.
Thanksgiving.
It was recorded at 150-seat club in Nashville, and that's the day before Metallica headlined Bonnaroo. But you have to find this... CD not at Walmart or Target, but online at mymetalclub.com. Mymetalclub.com. Check that out for new Metallica after Thanksgiving.
This holiday season, prepare to have the stuffing scared out of you. Thanksgiving, white meat, dark meat, all will be carved. Thanksgiving from director Eli Roth. Thanksgiving. You'll come home for the holidays in a body bag.
Oh, best
body bag.
Trailer ever,
that's
ever.
That's the best thing I've ever heard.
That's
the best part. All will be carved. Happy birthday to former American Idol judge Simon Cowell, Tom York of Radiohead.
Eyes
just one. You have to like pay attention when you're talking.
That's true.
And singer Damian Kulash of OK Go. I am Alex. That is your Showbiz Beat.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Thursday. Thursday means our weekly chat with Dr. Drew Pinsky, co-host of the nationally syndicated Loveline Show and every TV show you've ever seen. I think he was on a bender earlier this morning. We were not able to get him on the phone, but now he's back and he's healthy and he's tan. He's rested. Hey, Doc.
How dare you? God, every appearance with you guys, I have to start with a flurry of insults.
Yeah, well, this is what happened is a half hour ago.
I was there.
No, you were. Hang on a second.
We were a little early.
Ah.
So then you called on time, but we were already into something else. But Bean did declare that you weren't on the phone because you were on drugs.
Okay.
He made that declarative statement.
Okay, and had been touched.
Been touched, yes.
Yes.
Well, I'm sorry. Well, those are private matters.
Okay.
All right. Dr. Drew, we have many things we need to talk to you about in a very short amount of time. First of all, have you texted anyone accidentally lately?
Oh, yes. I made Psycho Mike happier than I think he's ever been in his entire life.
This is the kind of thing that really brings him joy.
It brings him joy, and now that it's a further evidence of the degree to which he is breaking me down and destroying me.
Here's what happens, because we can't tell you all of the contents, because guys who know each other well text horrible things to each other.
Yes, it's offensive.
To be funny, right?
Yes.
And then, every once in a while, it goes to the other guy's dad instead of the other guy.
Slow down. Let's flesh this out. Mike will regularly send me these terms of endearment that are just horrific, offensive statements.
Of course.
And he's so proud of himself.
He is. He loves it so much.
And I'll throw something back. I'll lob something back at him. And this was actually the first time that I initiated the exchange, as it were. And he was late to something we both had to be at. And I was actually a little concerned about him. But I thought, okay, well, this is my chance.
You know, have to talk to him in Mike's language.
Oh, yeah. I throw in a good one. I mean, every sort of proper name is prefixed with something hideous.
Right.
Okay? And so, you know, I threw out a good one. I thought, God, I have two phone numbers. I'm like, what is that? And then I look at my phone, and it's Dwight Catherwood. I thought, oh, my God.
It's Mike's dad.
And it's at the Loveline Studios, no good cell phone reception. You send text, but no cell phone. So I run out into the street. And you know how your cell phone sometimes will, like, dial out and get stuck in sort of a cycle of dialing out?
Sure.
And then they won't hang up?
Right.
I was in that world. It was like an episode of Larry David.
Were you trying to call Mike or Dwight?
His dad. Apologize. Yeah. And now, by the way, all of our deviants at Loveline thought I should just say that Mike stole the phone.
Of course. That's the answer.
I know. My head does not work that way.
Yeah, but Mike would totally do that.
Of course he would. Yeah, if I were smart, I would have thought of that. But my head just doesn't go that way. And
right.
So I finally turned the phone off, turned it on. By then, his dad had responded.
What did he respond? Was it in kind? I mean, did he find it funny?
It's like, this was obviously meant for someone else.
He knew it was meant for Mike.
It's so funny to think about Dr. Drew, who's one of the most respected medical professionals in the world, and all of a sudden this poor guy is getting crank texted by Drew out of the blue.
Horrible offensive language.
Oh, that's the best.
That only Mike would find funny. Although I met Mike's dad, I would imagine he found it funny as well.
I spoke with Mike's dad, and I just laid my. I said, "I'm so sorry." I just can't. He goes, "Yeah, I guess. I figured that was for someone else. I said, well, for your son, actually." It got better at that point.
That's awesome. Hey, Dr. Drew, I'm so glad we have you on right now. Perez Hilton posted a story this morning that you have some new competition to the Pasadena Recovery Center in Pasadena, California. Have you heard about this yet? Have you heard who's building a new rehab?
I saw a strange Twitter. Michael Lohan is involved with that. Is that
yes,
right?
That's Michael Lohan wants to. He has revealed his plans to debut a women-only rehab.
In Pasadena.
Yeah.
In Pasadena. What about that?
This is Lindsay Lohan's dad, and he's taking you on. He calls you out specifically.
But no, well, he first of all, I don't work at a facility in Pasadena right now. We just filmed the program, Pasadena Recovery Center, and we do need some women's facilities, although we have the Casa de Las Amigas is one of the premier women's facilities in the country.
But do you need one run by Lindsay Lohan's dad?
Well, if he turns it over, it will not be run by him. It's got to be run by women. So if he turns it over to someone, I'm keeping an open mind. It sounds bizarre, I'll grant you that. Is Perez involved in the operation in some weird way?
No, Perez hates it. Perez is calling him out on it and saying, you know, it's absurd. It's ridiculous that he's doing this.
Well, it's a little peculiar, I must admit. But listen, let's keep it. Listen, if it serves the community, let's keep an open mind.
Let's not. We don't have to. We don't have to keep an open mind.
You do. You do. Hey, let me ask you this, though, because Michael Lohan, in the same time that he was revealing his plan, says it is going to be very religiously oriented. How important is the religion part of rehab?
For some people, it's very important. For most people, they find it somewhat of a turnoff, and it's actually something that causes people to move away from the program. So, you know, I'm very careful to point out that it needn't be that way at all. The whole higher power concept, in fact, is really just a way of getting people out of their head and asking them not to control everything in their life and just to have some concept of faith that allows them to do that. I mean, very controlling people that have been through high levels of trauma in childhood are very controlling, very untrusting, and don't have faith in anything.
Right.
So really, that's the fundamental concept there. Now, for some people, it's an elaborate religious concept. And for them, actually, those people don't have many programs like that out there. So, that's nice that there's something there specifically dedicated to that.
You're trying to be so nice to him.
I know, well, so diplomatic.
You know, now I'm being nice to him. We need, you know,
right.
lots of good sober living.
Right.
Residential treatment centers. If this turns out to be a good one, great.
But what are the chances it's coming from a creep?
It depends. He's not going to run. I grant you, the setup is bad. Setup is not good. But it might turn out to be a good thing. I mean, listen, the guy has. He will tell you he's got his own problems, Michael Lohan. I mean, he's not bashful about this. You know, this guy spent 3 months in solitary confinement. Okay, that's who Michael Lohan is.
Right.
But he is a recovering guy. He loves his daughter, and he knows recovery a little bit. So it's okay. We'll see.
Oh. We are out of time with our guest, Dr. Drew. Mike, I know you had a question, but you're going to have to save it for the 2 hours you have with the doctor tonight because we don't have time.
Text it to me or your dad.
We'll see.
Drew, I'd just like to say that in certain situations like this, that will turn a switch in your mind that you can't text stuff like that anymore, and I don't want that to happen. I want you to continue texting stuff.
Well, the other switch in my mind is that I'm decaying.
Right. Well, that's obvious.
That's a given, yeah.
Mike is actually turning me into some other person.
No, you're becoming enlightened is what's happening.
He's just releasing the inner you.
I called my dad after I found out about it. I was like, yeah, Dad, you don't care, really, do you? He's like, I don't care what you hippies do to entertain each other.
Thank you, Dr. Drew.
All right, guys.
Hey, party people, thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. The return of Ralph Garman on Monday. In the meantime, we are filling in on the Showbiz Beat. You know, today's Toni Braxton's birthday. We've mentioned it a couple times today. She was a very, very popular singer. I don't know how long ago was her heyday. Probably the 90s, something like that. Unbreak My Heart, probably her best known song. Well, it's not only her birthday today, but apparently she has just filed, according to TMZ.com, for Chapter 7 bankruptcy again today.
What?
She might have up to $50 million in debt.
Isn't she the one
that
claimed bankruptcy already once?
Yes, she did. This is her second time, Kevin. Very good. She has sold more than 40 million albums in her career and has been apparently a sensational draw in concert. Had her own show on the Strip in Las Vegas for quite a while. How does somebody, I mean, is she just, she's got a crooked accountant, she's just spending money like crazy, didn't care. I mean, how do you get that much in debt when you're making that much money?
I don't know. I remember she came out very publicly. I think she went on Oprah, she went on a bunch of different shows saying, I'm broke, but
right.
I'm ready to come
Give
back.
Give me money.
Yeah, it was weird, and now she's doing it again.
Well, listen to how many people, by the way, she's in for. I mean, you would expect a famous rich person like this, you would expect to see creditors like American Express, for instance, in Wells Fargo Bank. She owes everybody down to ADT Security, who I assume was doing the alarms on her house. DirecTV, Orkin Pest Control. I mean, everybody is claiming that she owes the money. Even to the City of Los Angeles Parking Violations Bureau. She owns parking ticket money in California and Nevada. So maybe she's just one of those people who just doesn't pay bills.
What the? That doesn't make sense. After you claim bankruptcy, that doesn't make sense.
Like, it does seem like you would have learned your lesson at some point.
Huh.
So, assets, anyway,
income, all will be carved.
So bad news for the birthday girl. Also bad news for Jenny McCarthy, who's been making the rounds. She is the former Playboy Playmate of the Year, at one time an MTV personality, and she's been making the rounds promoting her new book that's out. And this I found interesting. This is something I did not know about Jenny. She was on the Ellen DeGeneres Show, and they were talking about bullying, which is very hot in the news right now. And Ellen DeGeneres is part of that anti-bullying campaign that's going on right now. And Jenny McCarthy says that girls used to throw pies at her, threaten to beat her with pipes.
Wow.
They spit on her. They even lit her hair on fire at one point. According to her, that the other girls were ticked off because their boyfriends all liked her.
Oh, sure.
So is the problem that you're too hot? Is that why you get beat on? Is because you're too hot and other girls don't like you because of that?
I got spit on. And I don't think it's because I was too hot. We moved to Orange County when I was in high school, and I sat on the bus, and I was the new kid, and these girls started spitting in my hair sitting behind me.
How terrible.
Kids are just mean.
We may have to do a call-in here on the Kevin and Bean Show, because I'm starting to discover, especially with my time on Loveline, that girls... Way worse when it comes to bullying than boys are. I mean, I'm sure there's the physical violence.
Are they worse, or are they just more in your face about it?
No, I think there's more concern. Like, they sit at home thinking of ways to be meaner.
I always thought it'd be harder to be a boy.
Sure, you get punched in the face or someone takes your lunch money. That's one thing. But I mean, spitting and calling names, hitting with lead pipes. Like, Jenna McCarthy got hit with lead pipes.
Yeah, she got her hair set on fire.
That was bad.
I never really thought that being hot is something that will get you bullied. By the way, things got so bad for Jenny, she told Ellen, that she almost dropped out of school until one day the school called and said if she missed another day, she would not graduate. I mean, wow. she was one of those kids who says, I don't want to get beat up again today. I'm not going to go to school. And it got to the point where it almost derailed her education. But I would not have expected that being hot is something...
I was bullied a lot when I was a kid for being too hot.
For being too hot.
Yeah, I mean, wow, exactly. It's rough.
Ashton Kutcher and his wife Demi Moore back in the news. Of course, there have been rumors flying all over everywhere, mostly coming from Star Magazine about this. First, that he's cheating, and now they are saying that it is a somewhat open relationship, that they have a relationship that is filled with threesomes. Some of the excerpts from Hollywood Life say they share women, but he isn't supposed to go off and sleep with women on his own. Ashton has said that Demi had to be there and that Demi likes to pick the girls out.
All right.
Which may be a relationship that they have and maybe the other people have too, where, yeah, you can have sex with other people as long as I'm in the loop on that and in some cases participating in that, but don't go off and get some on the side.
That's so hot.
Is what they're saying. The source of this, who's one of the women that claims she had sex with Ashton, says that Ashton having sex with other women is a regular thing. So I will tell you, they have not made much comment on this, except that they are being seen together all over the place looking very lovey-dovey and very happy. So whatever it is that's going on doesn't seem to be hurting them.
That's so hot.
Martha Stewart back in the news. She was on the Oprah Winfrey Show the other day.
Not yet.
No.
She got to talking about the BS 5 months, I think it was, that she spent in jail for insider trading.
But it wasn't jail, was it? I mean, wasn't it like...
I think it was jail.
Was it like ranch jail?
Well, I mean, it was a white-collar place, but it was federal prison.
It was real prison. And then, you're thinking that she did get house arrest for many months after she got out of jail, too.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, she said, not that bad. She made sure that the joint was sparkling by the time she left.
Oh,
she said she actually had a... She had a good time behind bars because she had a job, which is keeping the place clean, and she did her job well.
She does everything well.
Of course.
Perfect.
She does have to go to jail better than everybody else goes to jail, I guess.
That's so hot.
I bet she does a lot of things well, you know what I'm saying?
No, she doesn't.
What are you saying, Mike?
I'm saying she doesn't.
You know what I'm saying.
I do know what you're saying, and I'm discounting it. I'm saying absolutely not. Can you imagine? What a control freak. You're not doing it right!
And James Burns is the name of a Seattle music lover who says it's not his fight, but he's doing it for his friends. He has set up a pledge page on the internet called thepoint.com, I guess, is where you can set up a page to solicit donations for anything. He has chosen to ask people to donate so that he can raise enough money to talk Weezer into retiring. He says, my friends... They get their heart broken every time a new Weezer record comes out because they're never good. And why does the media always talk about them? He's trying to raise $10 million to get the group to break up. It just seems to me like it would just be easier to not listen to them, because there are still a lot of people who still like the Weezer,
but if you're
right?
Talking about, trying to get bands to quit, aren't they 1 millionth? I mean, aren't there so many bands above them that make really crappy music that should... I mean, Weezer's fine. They're great.
Now, why spend a minute on Weezer when Kesha exists, is what your point is.
That's my point.
The first response from the band, by the way, Patrick Wilson, drummer for Weezer, responded to the offer saying, hey, look, make it $20 million and we'll do the deluxe breakup. So at least he's got a good sense of humor about it. By the way, in case you're wondering how the campaign is going, as of late last night when this story was written, the man has raised $194 toward trying to get Weezer to break up.
Very close then.
It looks to me like maybe he's still got a ways to go. And we told you earlier in the week, finally, that Chelsea Handler and 50 Cent appeared to be a couple. Everyone was willing to buy it based on the photographs of them together after hours at a New Orleans club. And based on the fact that 50 Cent has been tweeting about her since the MTV Video Music Awards. Kevin was the lone voice to stand up and say, BS, not true.
I have
not
a good gut. I have a gut on things,
yeah, but,
man.
A black guy's standards go so far down when it comes to blonde white women.
But not that far. Not that far.
But that's the only reason I found it believable. But I hear you.
Chelsea Handler herself is denying the rumors. She went on Twitter yesterday and said, everybody calm down. I met with Mr. Cent about a potential project.
Wait, did she call him Mr. Cent?
She did, yeah. I met with him about a potential project. There's nothing to report yet. I will let you know if there is. So
it's a business thing that got exaggerated.
Look, as we've talked about so many times on this show, if you have your photo taken with someone, then you're doing it.
You're doing it, yeah.
I mean, that's all the tabloids need to write a story, is just a picture of you guys together.
That's how Hollywood works.
So I have a little bit more respect for 50 Cent today than I did 3 days ago when I thought he was dating Chelsea Handler. Today's celebrity birthdays. Toni Braxton, as mentioned, not having the best birthday of her life. She is 43 years old today. Former American Idol judge, Simon Cowell turns 51 today. Tom York from Radiohead is 42. Former AI winner Taylor Hicks, 34. What's that dude doing these days, by the way?
Crying.
Would you like fries with that?
You are not set up for the rest of your life if you win American Idol anymore. That's for sure. Not everybody.
He won that season?
He won that season, wow. Yeah.
He's Tony Braxton's everyone, accountant.
Not everyone could be Kelly Clarkson or Carrie Underwood, I guess. John Mellencamp is 59 today, and Joy Behar from The View turns 67, and that is the Showbiz Beat.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Tomorrow morning we have an all-new program. It's Friday morning. That means we have the Movie Beat. Mr. Movie Phone will be here. We also have Jonesy, who's going to be here, formerly
awesome.
Of the Sex Pistols.
Nice.
We have Andrew Siciliano talking about the NFL weekend. We have highlights of the Jersey Shore. I don't care about any of this, by the way. We're going to talk to Justin Bieber, but not the real one. Another guy named Justin Bieber whose life is miserable now.
Oh, that's got to be horrible.
Miserable. He gets mail all the time. Some they love his music. Some they hate it. But he's not happy.
Imagine what your life is until 2 years ago. Your name is just Justin Bieber and it doesn't mean anything. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere,
comes Justin Bieber.
It's got to just be turned upside down. Yeah. That must suck so bad.
Here's what I care about. We're going to talk to Luke. And Luke is from QuakePredictions.com.
That's what I'm talking about.
And he said last week that there was a 98% chance of a 6-7 earthquake. And then we talked to him on Monday. And we asked him to admit he was full of crap, which he did sort of half-heartedly.
He did.
But then he said again there was a 98% chance today and tomorrow. Or yesterday and today.
Yesterday and today.
So we're going to talk to him again tomorrow.
Unless we all die tonight in an earthquake.
Right. You have to understand there's
which
a margin of error in the things that I do, and there's a fluctuation in the days.
But
and,
there's a 98% chance.
This happens every time, so I can't wait to talk to him again tomorrow morning on an all-new...
Oh my God, there's an earthquake!
On an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.
Cat Corbett's coming up next with 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock. How about some Arcade Fire, their latest called Ready to Start. Also, the Temper Trap, the Pumpkins, Stained Muse, and more next on K-Rock.